This is a presentation of your season ticket, WESV Sports. This is Bradford Owls High School Football on WESV Sports, B107.5 FM, 1490 AM, WBRRFM.com. Broadcasting live, the voice of the Owls, Jimmy Kelts.
Welcome in and good evening. It's time for Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports. I'm your voice of the Owls, Jimmy Kelts, broadcasting live tonight from Dubois. Alongside me is my color commentator, Mark Irvin, and our sound engineer, Nick Youngs, is back at the station. Time for week four of the Owls 2023 season. And there's a couple of ways to say the situation that we're in and exclaim it a few times in a few different ways, Mark. That's that the Owls come in with a two-game win streak. They come in 2-1 on the season. They come in with a better record than the opposing team. It's been a little while since we've been able to say all those three things continuously.
Yeah, absolutely. And this team's starting to really create a buzz around town being downtown every day. I mean, a lot of people are talking about it, and not only there, but I guess practices have been pretty intense and they've been very focused. So even the players are excited at this point. So good things are coming.
Yep, building up the buzz, a little bit of excitement. How it's shaken out thus far is a week one loss, season opener, home opener hosting Punxsutawney. That was a big, strong team. Punxsutawney, we think, is going to do very well this year. It was a 44-0 loss, and whatever feelings you had about another Owls season quickly got flipped on its head in week two when they traveled to Countersport and had a 34-12 finish over the Falcons. And then they a little bit of a prove it week is what we've been calling it, and they beat the Ottawa Eldred Terriers at home 35-12, and those last two games pretty much dominated every facet. I mean, 34-12, 35-12, not the biggest margins of victory, but I think the Owls played even better. It's a 21-point win, a 23-point win. They played even better than the scoreboard would imply.
Oh, absolutely. One thing that was a claw for the Owls was the 7 holding penalties on offense. But I think if they can clean that up, looking over this Dubois roster and the film I've seen, we match up very well against them. I think our skill position players are really going to need to show off tonight and show out. And I have a confident feeling about this, and I've been saying all week, I think we're going to get a win down here in Dubois.
Yeah. Text me early in the week and made that call for yourself. And good transition by you. One of the penalties, the holding penalties, is something that I brought up with Coach Bulio earlier when we talked for the coaches show. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about kind of the two-game win streak and where the Owls are at, how practice has been, trying to contain and cut down on those penalties from the previous 2 weeks, though the week before it was a false start issue and the holding issue, and looking ahead here tonight to this Dubois game. So without further ado, here is the coaches show with Coach Jeff Bulio. Welcome back to the Coach's Show with Coach Jeff Pulio. It's week four for the Owls, 2-1 on the season as they head down to Dubois. Thanks for joining me again today, Coach.
Happy to be here.
All right, so now we have the Owls on a two-game win streak, 2-1 record. Started off the season with the loss to Punxsutawney, then they bounced back at Countersport and again at home hosting Otto Eldred. And I was wondering, I've never had to be in the position of a coach, but my thoughts were that the first win at Countersport would be, you know, it's great for the kids and for the school and for Bradford in general, but the rest of District 9 probably didn't think too awful much of it. Now you have a prove it week against Otto Eldred. You do the same thing to the Terriers. Does that start to make some of the other teams take notice and maybe approach their week of practice ahead of an Owls matchup a little differently, do you think?
I'm sure it does. I'm sure there's a different perception of us. But, you know, I think, you know, for us, you know, what we talk about, you know, in the locker room and every day in practice is, you know, what do we need to do to continue to get better? Two wins is great. You know, we're kind of on a roll. Things are kind of bouncing our way. But there was some complacency in that game. So I think, you know, the focus still is on us and what we need to do to continue to improve each day and put our best foot forward every Friday.
And it was another pretty convincing win, although it didn't come quite as easily, it looked like, from my viewpoint, on the offensive side of the ball. I think mostly that's just you take away the huge plays to Jake Franz. But made up for it a lot. Talon Reese, again on the feet, had a couple of explosive plays. Another fun watch. And the defense, again, really getting the job done against Otto Eldred. I mean, kind of took those athletes out of the equation that we talked about before the game, kind of just took them out of the game almost completely.
Yeah, I mean, I think what really, you know, defensively was we took the run away. It's something they were going to definitely try to do and establish is run. And when we made them more one-dimensional, it became more, I guess, easy to kind of figure out what they wanted to do. We were aware of their screens. We were aware of their shot plays. So once we were able to, you know, basically eliminate the run with only three guys up front, we were able to really confuse the quarterback with what we were doing with our coverage, is being pretty multiple with how we wanted to attack them. So I was really happy, again, you know, with our run defense kind of setting us up. Now, offensively, I thought we came out really strong. We got the 14 points on the board, and I think we kind of did some scoreboard watching. And it's something I always tell them is we can't ever let the scoreboard dictate our effort. I think we did that a little bit Friday, and that's something we've really been working on this week in practice, and hopefully it's something we can take care of tonight. Is, you know, our effort should be the same no matter what the scoreboard says.
We talked about the penalties from the previous week, and they were mostly false starts. Those were almost completely gone, but then the holding and something else started to pop up, which happens later in the play. Do you think there's a little bit of trying to adjust? We got past the false start, but now there's the holding after that.
Yeah, the holding penalties are tough because, you know, I think a lot of it is our guys are playing really aggressive. I think they're catching things out of the corner of their eyes, and they're just immediately going to the flag. I'm not sure how many of them are actually holds and how many of them are just we're dominating somebody. But that they're calling them, so they're seeing it. So it's something we've addressed in practice this week, kind of a continued thing we're addressing to the point where we're actually, you know, trying to tie our hands together when we practice offense, so that way we're keeping our hands in and not getting our arms extended. But it's something we got to keep working on and keep addressing.
And this week down in Dubois, now obviously a team we're familiar with, which is kind of the story of every team all high school season, except for, you know, you get a random game scheduled at Gold Eagle or something. But Dubois, who are we looking at tonight? Who's been stepping up so far for that team that we'll see trying to lead the offense this year?
Well, they got a couple guys out, you know, and we're going to have a couple guys out tonight as well. So I think, you know, you get to the meat of the season, that happens. Injuries are going to happen. Guys are banged up. They're really big up front. I mean, they're going to be as big, if not bigger, than what we saw with Punxsutawney. You know, how do we handle that? You know, so we didn't handle it so well week one. We're a different team now. So I'm hoping we will try to match that physicality and continue to shut down the run. Quarterback's very athletic. And I think we need to try to force him into some uncomfortable situations. So that's our game plan tonight, is to try to bottle him up and continue to play strong run defense.
Yeah, and I think that's what happened a lot last week, is making the QB uncomfortable, forcing him into some bad throws. That turned into a couple of turnovers, one that was really close by Jake Franz. So it should be interesting tonight to see how the boys handle it. Two-game win streak. I hope everybody is riding high and able to enjoy that a little bit as well. And thanks for joining me, Coach. We'll look for another one tonight.
Yep, thanks for having me. Let's go, Owls.
Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports is brought to you by these local sponsors. The Model T Inn, Allegheny Bradford Corporation, Allegheny Vein and Vascular, W.R. Case & Sons, Toji's Restaurant, Toji's Substation, Kathy Obermeyer of ERA Team VP Real Estate, Burns & Burns Insurance, Team Miner, In Tandem, Dexter's Service & Collision, Zimmerman Real Estate, Gleason Construction, and Ameriprise Financial. This is Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports, AM 1490, B107.5 FM, and streaming at WESB.com and 100.1 The Heroes mobile apps.
98CM Bradford.
WESB Bradford.
B107.5 FM.
This is Bradford Owls High School Football.
Welcome back to Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports, broadcasting live from E.J. Mantle Stadium here in Dubois. It is a beautiful September night, blue skies as we look out on the horizon here. The two boys, Beavers, just have taken to the field. The Owls are on their opposite sideline, far sideline here at the stadium, and they're all white away gear. And that was the coach's show with Coach Jeff Puglio. We talked there about a few things. A couple interesting things I heard, Mark, was he was talking a little bit about those holding penalties and how they were trying to combat that. And some of it, he said, he thought, you know, may or may not have been warranting of that penalty, that 15-yard from the spot of the foul penalty. Some of them, he thinks, actually just might have been the way that the Owls were playing and might just have been a turning head. Well, there's no way you can, you know, throw a guy around that well unless you're doing it in holding. But he's trying to fix it either way, and they started practicing with their hands tied together. I thought that was an interesting tidbit.
Yeah, and one comment that he did say in there, one word that stuck out to me was aggression. And you can obviously see if you've been to the games that the Owls line has definitely been more aggressive on both sides of the ball. And, you know, I can see how it happens, and it makes sense to me exactly how Coach Puglio put it. And I look forward to and expect them to be as aggressive tonight, and just hope that those holding penalties aren't called.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I brought up, it was, you know, week two was the false starts, and then last week being the holding penalty, and I thought maybe that was a progression, like, you know, trying to play catch up almost. The false start is earlier in the play, and then the holding penalty would be, you know, obviously after that. So if they can progress through that, whatever that learning curve or maturation is, if they can progress through that and get the playoff cleanly, then I think we'll see a much more flowing offense. You know, week two, we saw the big plays to Jake France, and the false starts didn't really affect it that much. Last week was a little bit more of a grind, but Jordy Thompson was just such an animal.
Yeah, unbelievable.
That they were able to still drive down the field. But, you know, it's not going to be every game where you can overcome seven holding penalties like that.
Right, especially with a team the quality of Dubois is. Traditionally, they're one of the bigger powers in D9. So far this year, the record doesn't show that, but they definitely are. They're down a couple players tonight, but so is Bradford. Bradford's also welcoming back a couple guys. A.J. Lama, one, is back in the lineup tonight. And I think another one's going to have a big impact tonight is Liam Haven, a senior. He joined the team late to get in this year, but I seen him play Monday night at the JV level. They gave him some time in there, and he was just absolutely dominant. So I look forward to seeing what Liam can do tonight. And I also expect a lot out of Jordan. That kid just doesn't quit.
I mean, we've been singing his praises for a little while now. The kid is a sophomore. I believe what's he listed at 5'6", 150, something like that off the top of my head. And is just an absolute truck out there on the field. Doesn't go down. Fights for every yard. Pushing piles. Pulling piles. Whatever he needs to do. And he's going to be a lot of fun to watch for the next few years. We're going to pause one more time getting ready for the national anthem here in Dubois. And then we'll come back with our kickoff and starting lineups for Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports.
Toji's Substation is the friendly, fun place to enjoy made-to-order fresh homemade food. Tender Italian bread-made subs, plus specialty pizzas, wings, burgers, and lots of games for everyone to enjoy. It's also your one-stop fast beer shop, featuring a big variety of domestic, imported, and craft beers, including Toji's daily Buck a Beer specials. Toji's Substation, for over 50 years, the friendly, fun place for the whole family. Open every day at 402 East Main Street in Bradford.
I've been driving trucks for a long time. Safety is my number one priority. I know that my truck has huge blind spots. That's why I remember to check my mirrors often for smaller vehicles. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're behind the wheel, try to avoid lingering in those blind spots. It can be dangerous. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
WESB Sports.
Welcome back. You caught the end of the national anthem there as we get ready for kickoff. The coin toss will be happening momentarily. We'll take a look at the starting offense here for the Bradford Owls tonight. It's brought to you by Kathy Obermeyer at ERA Team VP Real Estate. We know, of course, under center or out of the shotgun, more likely, will be quarterback Talon Reese. He's had a fantastic couple of weeks here for the Owls. the week two, actually back-to-back MVP of the game presented by Model T Inn. And that week two, those connections with Jake Franz, and he showed a few of those plays with his legs. And then last week, a couple of electric runs for Talon Reese.
Yeah, some big-time runs that really stepped up and under pressure and propelled the Owls. Like, it looked like they may have gotten a little bit down, and he stepped up and just electrified that sideline, and they were good to go after that. So definitely a leader on the offense for us.
And then sharing the backfield with him will be Jordy Thompson, who we were just speaking of before the break in the running back position. And he'll be joined in the backfield every once in a while with A.J. Gleason, who does move around a little bit, lines up sometimes as a tight end, will go out wide as a receiver, and often in the backfield as well. Our wide receiving core is Mason's his first year playing varsity football for the Owls, and he's had an absolutely great start. First three games, you know, the first one was a little quieter, but we would see what he's capable of. The second game, he had two huge touches, and even last week, there were a few that were taken away from him. A couple came real close. He was really close to an interception on the other side of the ball as well.
Yeah, and one thing that Jake does is he now draws attention to himself, which frees up A.J. Gleason, frees up Matthew Perry, frees up Jordan out of the backfield. So although last week his numbers may have been a little down from the previous week, the stat sheet doesn't show at all. He really attracted a lot of attention from the Terrors last week. So he's effective no matter what now. People know him, they know his name, and they have the game plan for him.
Yeah, absolutely. I think another person that really benefited from that, especially last week, was Adam Ward, fellow wide receiver. Had a monster game last week, including a really big touchdown as well. He'll be lined up at wide receiver along with Matthew Perry and Carter Cawley. Then we'll look to the offensive line, is centered by Jacob Abers. And then flanking him on either side will be Owen DeGuyler, Evan Whitmore, John Jasper, and Blake Callahan. And as you mentioned, be a couple familiar.
One that did that nearly every play. I mean, granted, it was at the JV level on Monday night, but he tipped two or three balls and one that got picked off. So he was definitely an asset out there, and I expect more of the same from him here tonight.
Yeah, obviously, always pushing to try to work your way to the ball. And when that ball is being released, it's always nice every once in a while to see those hands go up, see if maybe they can't put a finger on it. It looks like we just had our coin toss here. And Bradford won the toss and declined, which means Dubois will receive to start the game.
Oh yeah, the captain's just shaking hands and headed over to the sideline now. So as we're sitting here, the Owls are going to be kicking off from your right to left on the radio towards the school side. Similar setup in the way that the Owls stadium is, Parkway Field there. So
yeah,
as I said, Owls are going to be working right to left here.
Yeah, it is actually fairly similar, as we have the end zone to our left is what we would consider the school side end zone. And across the way is the visiting bleachers. Right end zone goes out to a nice little area over there. Not a park or a creek, but still fairly scenic in its own right. The Owls will be set to kick off. Jake Franz will have the honors. Beavers returning, again working from left to right on your radio. Ball is up, and it's a nice punt. Going to get caught near the 6 or 7 yard line. Here comes the return. Breaks one tackle at the 12, or at the 20, rather, and is brought down inside the 25.
Yeah, it looked like A.J. Lama hustled down there and had first contact with him, but the defender, or he was able to escape that defender, but he was brought down by Andrew Giordano for your Owls.
So we'll have to get a look at the Beavers offense here. Some of the more familiar Dubois players of the past couple of years, the big role players had graduated out, so we're looking at a couple of fresh faces. We'll try to get as familiar as possible as quickly as possible. Looks like they'll be headed up by Landon Schrock in the backfield. And it's going to be a run right on first down, right up the middle, and a little bit of room there for the Beavers, maybe a gain of 5.
Yeah, it looked like they tested the line, just a little simple off tackle play there, and they were able to gain a couple yards before being swarmed by a whole mess of Owls over there.
So again, we see Landon Schrock on the field. I also see Nathan Cougar on the field, looking for a couple other
Yeah, it's pretty tough to see from our vantage point.
It is, yeah. It's not the easiest. Now, Schrock is actually listed for me as a wide receiver, or as a running back, but he is under center for this play. Just handed it off to the left side, right side, rather, and moving the pile to grab a few yards is Dubois. Short game.
Yeah, Evan Whitmore read that key well and came from his middle linebacker position, was able to stand him up, but the young man just kept driving there, so it took a couple more owls to get on him and get him down. But a nice play there by Evan Whitmore.
So must be that Schrock will be working under center. Thought maybe that first play was more of a direct snap, but looks like he is indeed lining up as quarterback. They do have three running backs behind him. And here's another handoff right up the middle. Got enough for the first down, and then a pretty big pop.
Yeah, that was our friend A.J. Gleason coming up from his safety spot. He got him down, but it was enough for a Beaver first down. So he always looked like they're making a couple adjustments now, but nothing to worry about as of yet.
So that one moves the chains and gets him over the 35 to about the 36-yard line. First and 10, 10 minutes, 20 seconds to go as Dubois works with a fresh set of downs. Schrock again under center with three backs behind him, one wide receiver on the left side, handoff to the right. Got some room there, and approaching midfield before finally coming down is number 34 for Dubois.
Yeah, that might have been a touchdown-saving tackle.
In Tandem is a leading provider of services to people with developmental disabilities and mental health concerns in Western New York. With all that's changed over the years, In Tandem's mission has remained constant: quality care, support, and togetherness. We are better together, and you may just be better with them. In Tandem is a major employer of direct care workers, nurses, and other human services professionals with new pay rates and a strong benefit package. In Tandem is a great place to build a career. Visit intandem.org to find out how you can make a difference today.
It's really fun.
It's easy.
I'm really glad I helped.
There's nothing like our Great Lakes beaches for year-round outdoor fun, but we do need to protect them. Thanks to Adopt-a-Beach cleanups, more of our shorelines are being kept healthier, safer, and beautiful. The Alliance for the Great Lakes wants you to join this movement with thousands of volunteers. Learn how at greatlakes.org/adopt.
It's just something that's so important.
Beach cleanups are fun and make a huge difference to our Great Lakes and all they offer. Countless pounds of litter end up on our beaches each year. About 85% of that is plastic. With your help, we're cleaning it up. Bring yourself or come with a friend. Community groups, schools, businesses, everyone is welcome. You can make a difference and have a lot of fun doing it. Go to greatlakes.org/adopt and join us on the beach.
The Great Lakes!
WESB Sports.
Welcome back. Experiencing a little bit of technical difficulty here from Dubois, but the Beavers moving the ball here, except for this first and 10 that they just had from the 35-yard line. That was a loss of a yard. But before that, marching downfield pretty effectively there in the last couple of plays.
Yeah, they had a quick out to the sideline to bring up get a first down on that third down play, and then they just tried to run the ball there, and Liam Haven stepped in there and blew that play up and got him down for about a yard loss.
So now on a second and 11 from the 36 in Bradford territory, and Bradford trying to come up with a stand here. Here's another screenplay. It's caught. Little bit of room. Not a whole lot. Maybe a gain of three or four on the quick screenplay to the right side.
Yeah, it looked like Evan Whitmore in on the tackle there from his linebacker spot. So he only gained, what, 1 or 2 yards on that there?
Yeah, he made up the, remember they started 1 yard behind, so maybe a 4 yard.
Sure.
Totally. Going to bring up a third and 7.
Yeah, I was lined up with 3 down linemen, it looks like, so they're dropping back a lot of a little bit of a prevent here.
Beavers switching back and forth with a couple of different looks. They had the 3 running back set, and now going with a shotgun, 1 running back, double twins. Takes the snap and drops back. Now scrambling and tugged from behind. Nice job there.
Andrew Giordano with the sack for the Bradford Owls. He came up from his side linebacker position, was able to just get his hand on him, but was strong enough to pull the quarterback down. So nice play there by Andrew Giordano.
Andrew Giordano, backup quarterback, coming out and making the play there for the sack. It's a rather big loss to bring up a 4th and 14.
It looks like Dubois is going to be going for it here on the 4th and long.
Yeah, they have, you know, obviously made it this far to the 35-yard line, but I don't know that they've had plays over 14 yards thus far, so it should be interesting. Back in the double twin set out of the shotgun is Schrock, and he's going to keep it. He's running out of room.
Oof.
And he gets popped.
Yeah, Andrew Giordano again in the backfield wraps him up and holds him tight. Couldn't quite bring him down, but that was Evan Whitmore coming in and cleaning house for the Owls. So there's going to be a turnover on the downs, and the Owls are going to take over first and 10.
So a nice job after initially ceding a little bit of ground there to Dubois. The Owls come up with a stop, force a fourth and long, and back-to-back Giordano tackles.
It's going to bring up a first and 10 for the Owls, and the ball's on the 40-yard line.
All right, so we get our first look at the Owls' offense tonight. Reese out of the shotgun. It's going to be a quick screenplay to the right side.
Adam Ward.
That's Ward. He's got some room. First down and across midfield, and there's a flag on the tackle. Now,
I'm unsure what this flag's going to be for. It looked like a pretty clean play out there and tackle to me.
We'll have to see if it was as he was coming down with the tackle. So a possible face mask. Now, if they get a holding on their first offensive play.
That's what it is.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. So a holding on the Owls, 10 yards from the spot of the foul, which makes it a 5-yard gain because of how far out Ward was when it happened.
So that's going to bring up a first and 5 from the 45 for the Owls. Excuse me. Yeah, first and 5 from the 45.
But it wipes out about a 15-yard play there for Ward.
Looks like they got double twin set up here for...
Yeah, Reese will get back to it. Hand off to Thompson. He's got to break a tackle in the backfield. He can't, and it's going to be a loss.
Yeah, that was a good luck there for the Owls. Looks like Reese mishandled that snap just a touch, but it bounced right into the arms of Jordan there, and he was able to at least progress a little bit.
So it's a loss of 4.
That brings up 2nd and 9 for your Owls.
And they're pushed back to their own 41-yard line. And we'll see. Luckily, with that penalty is the replay of down. So we're still on 2nd down, 2nd and long. And Reese will get to work here. Takes the snap, drops back, has to roll out to his left side.
Smooth.
Still running. And he's going to run in. Spin move. And approaches, gets over the 45. Another flag on the field.
Yeah, that's in the backfield. That's almost a surefire holding penalty on the Owls again, but we'll see what we got. But that was another great run by Talon.
Yeah, showed off the spin move there and kind of slithered through 3 Dubois defenders to turn that into a nice run. Unfortunately, it is another holding on the Owls. So already 2 holding plays after 7 last week, I think he said.
Yeah, that's going to drop the Owls back quite a ways. Looks like they're marking the ball at the 31-yard line.
31-yard line.
10-yard loss for the Owls.
So that'll bring up a replay of down. So 2nd and...
19.
19, yeah. Jeepers. 2 early holding plays here. 2nd and 19 from the 31. Reese sends a man in motion, and it'll pitch it to him real quick, but he's dropped for a loss.
Yeah, the Beavers weren't fooled at all on that play. They brought Logan Kohler across and a quick pitch to him to run towards the near sideline here, but as I said, Dubois was not fooled a bit, and they were able to snuff that out and knock the Owls back for a loss.
So now looking at 3rd and 1 mile, 3rd and 24 to go on the 26-yard line after the 5-yard loss. And the Owls, you know, this far in their own territory, would certainly like to, even if they don't get the first, make up some of this ground. Reese is going to drop back. step up, and he'll take a sack for another two-yard loss.
Yeah, that was just a really nice move by the defensive end for the Beavers there. I don't have his name right in front of me, but I mean, sometimes you just got to call a good play, and that's exactly what that was.
So did you see a number?
It was 51, I believe.
I gotcha. Nick Castro.
Yeah, so a nice play on his part, and that brings up 4th and 26 for the Owls, so another five-yard loss.
So we've got is that Haviland out there for the punt?
Yes, sir, it is.
He's been getting the punting duties this season. And Dubois is able to slide on top of it right near the 22, 23-yard line. So the Owls blocked punt puts Dubois in great field position to start off.
Yeah, that's the first time I've seen their special teams allow any pressure towards the punter all season. They've been doing a really remarkable job, but in that case, they crashed the left side of the line, were able to get their hands up and get the block. So it's going to set up a 1st and 10 for the Beavers from their own 24. So
from the Bradford 24.
From the Bradford 24, yes. So let's see if the Owls can stiffen up here and get some stops.
Only 3 minutes and 12 seconds to go in the first quarter, as it seems like this first frame has flown by. Here's a handoff, and looks like no gain, nothing doing there.
No, initial hit in the back by Evan Whitmore, and then cleaned up by Eric Himes for the Owls. So
that was Kyle Cruzen on the play. So they're really spreading the ball around here, are the Beavers, early. So maybe a yard on that, bring up a 2nd and 9. By the way, while we are flying through this first quarter, our first quarter contestant for Toji's Touchdown Sweepstakes is Kathy Platko. If the Owls score in the remainder of this first quarter, you'll win a free lunch special from Toji's Substation. If the Owls don't score, you'll win a free dinner off the Value Pack Meals menu at Toji's Family Restaurant. Here's the snap, and it's a delayed handoff.
Oof.
And a loss.
Matt Perry on the tackle.
No fumble. It's whistled dead. Looked like he popped the ball out loose.
Yeah, Matt Perry came in on a blitz, and he was untouched, and the forced the running back for Dubois there to try to make a move on him, but he wasn't fooled and was able to bring him down. So a very nice play by Matthew Perry there.
That ball popped out, and Matthew Perry picked it up real quick, and he had a whole lot of backfield to himself, but that play was whistled dead. Loss of a yard brings up 3rd and 10.
So the Owls defense stiffening up here, so maybe this will give them a little bit of motivation, a little bit of pep in their step.
So far, keeping them out of the red zone, starting at the 23-yard line. There's the snap rolling out to the right side, letting one air out, and that one soars out of bounds. Incomplete, brings up a 4th and 10 for Dubois.
Yeah, Andrew Giordano came from his right end side and was chasing, forced the Dubois quarterback towards the sideline out of the pocket, and he just launched one up, but the only people down there were a couple of Owls, being Jake France and A.J. Gleason. So an excellent defensive stand here for the Owls.
Yeah, only a handful of passes so far here for Dubois, and half, if not most, have been screen passes. So that was like the first real
Downfield shot.
Downfield attempt, yeah. There's a man in motion. Dubois out of the shotgun here. And it's going to be a handoff to the left side. A little dive. It's a gain of 5, but it'll be a turnover on downs.
Yeah, Eric Himes in there to get the tackle, get him by the shoestrings and bring him down. So, as Jimmy just said, a turnover on downs, which is going to give the Owls 1st and 10 from their own 23, and they're going to be working from right to left on your screen here. So after seeing that first offensive set, Jimmy, what do you expect to see here? A little bit of change up or stick with the game plan?
Well, we haven't seen – we saw a handoff attempt to Jordy that wasn't really doing much, but I think that was a really good read by the defense. See if we can't get involved a little bit and open up the downfield play. Talon's going to, and that's exactly what happens. It's a shovel pass, but another great read comes down in the backfield again.
Yeah, I mean, Jordy pitched it off there, caught it, and he was hit as soon as he touched the ball. So lucky just to hang on there, but it looked like the center of the Owls' offensive line broke down a little bit there, and Dubois was able to get both their linebackers through.
Now, this isn't, so far, that contact in the backfield isn't foreign to what we've seen this year, but Jordy is just so great at breaking the tackles and getting the yards after contact. We haven't seen him come down in the backfield a whole awful lot until tonight.
No, he shows off his athleticism and his strength quite well.
Talon has to get rid of it quick. He does to Jake Franz, who has it in, had some space, but slipped and came down to a knee.
Looks like only a 2-yard gain there, but this side of the field, I mean, a block or two and he could have been gone there, or at least a big gain for the Owls. But instead, we're going to be down to third and 14.
He definitely had some space there, but just a little bit. He tried a juke to change his direction. Ends up slipping and coming down to a knee.
So just a two-yard gain on that for the Owls.
Looks like we'll get another snap here in the first quarter at least. 30 seconds to go. Third and 12 from the 16. Reese out of the shotgun, double twins. Looks to his right side. Thompson out of the backfield. It's caught and over the 20, approaching the 25. And is brought down right near the 25.
Yeah, just a nice little dump pass to Jordy. And, you know, get the ball to your playmakers and let them try to make a play there. And that's exactly what they did. And Jordan was able to get quite a few yards there. Not quite a first down, but it gives you all some breathing room for their punt team.
It does bring up a fourth and three as we end the first quarter of action. Still tied at zero here in Dubois. And the Owls, again, fourth and three from their own 25 when we start the second quarter after flipping the field. It's Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports.
Did you know that peripheral arterial disease, or PAD, affects 12 million Americans and is found most commonly in people over age 50 with a history of smoking, diabetes, high blood pressure, or heart disease? How do you know if you have PAD? PAD often begins with poor growth of toenails and leg hair, often progressing to calf pain when walking, foot pain when sleeping, or open sores or wounds on feet and legs that heal poorly or not at all. Toes and feet may become discolored. At Allegheny Vein and Vascular, the office of Dr. Bob Tejera, we are dedicated to helping patients with PAD achieve victories like walking and sleeping without pain, healing wounds, and ultimately to prevent amputations. For more information or to schedule your appointment, call 368-8490. That's 368-8490. Self-referrals are welcome and most insurances are accepted. Allegheny Vein and Vascular is located at 900 Chestnut Street in Bradford.
WESB Sports.
Welcome back to Bradford Owls football. We have flipped the field and we will start the second quarter of action. The Owls with a fourth and three. Look to punt it away. Haviland gets this one off. It sails over midfield.
Ooh,
and it's touched, but bobbled, and somehow he was able to get back to it quickly, wrapped up near the 42.
Yeah, Adam Ward was Johnny on the spot there. I thought he was going to come up with that ball, but a nice play by the Beavers to maintain possession there, but drop where he caught it at. So Adam Ward down there making a play.
Yeah, just absolutely muffed it, but somehow got right back onto it.
Yeah,
but a nice punt there from Haviland as Dubois takes over to start the second. Our second quarter contestant for Toji's Touchdown Sweepstakes, Alvin Jones.
Looks like they're always in their traditional four down linemen, a couple linebackers.
And it's going to be a handoff left side, and nice stop there after, a little bit of a gain there, maybe a 4 or 5 yard gain.
Yeah, and A.J. Gleason come up from his his safety spot, and actually laid a pretty dang good hit down on him that time. Not sure it's quite the collision of the game, but a nice play nonetheless.
It will be one that we hang on to, at least here through the first half. Actually, a 3 yard gain there for Dubois. Bring up a second and seven from the 46 yard line in Dubois territory. Now they're working from right to left here in the second. And Trock will, from under center, take the snap, and it's a handoff, but the Owls are able to close in quickly.
Yeah, it looked like Eric Himes had first contact on there, then cleaned up by Matthew Perry and Evan Whitmore, on there. So a nice play by the Owls to stop them. So would we say, Jimmy, third and about six for Dubois?
Yeah, somewhere in there. Third and six is what I would call it. And that was a handoff to Garrett Nissel. So really spreading the ball around here. Trock out of the shotgun, rolling out to his right side, looking for his man. He's going to let it air out a little bit. Goes up and incomplete.
Yeah, that was a heck of a play by safety A.J. Gleason coming over and jumping up for that ball and knocking it out of the hands of the Dubois receiver. So the defense stands. It's going to bring up a fourth and six for Dubois.
Yeah, actually had a play on the ball there, did A.J., after covering a lot of ground to get into position.
Yeah, he's deceptively fast. I mean, he's no secret amongst the District 9 teams, but
Still, it seems like every year that we've seen him over the last couple, he's gotten bigger and stronger and faster. So he's definitely worked very hard to improve his game.
Here's 4th and 6 for Dubois. And the punt, wow, a booming punt. Wow. It's going to sail inside the 20 and take a friendly Dubois roll. And are they able to get it out of the end zone?
Oof. Hard to tell from here, but.
It looks like he came into the end zone with it. We'll wait to see exactly the ruling.
No ruling on the field yet.
Now they're going to talk it over with the goal line officials.
Quite a bit of conversation between officials going on.
Yeah, there is. Somebody's not sure. Yeah, went into the end zone with possession, so the Owls will start from their own 20.
Yeah, so it's going to bring up 1st and 20 for your Bradford Owls, and they're, again, as we flip field here into the second quarter, we're going to be working left to right on your radio screen. And the Owls, I'm sure, I have full confidence not only in this team but this coaching staff that they've made a couple adjustments over there, so I expect to see a couple different plays and the Owls be able to gain some yards here.
Nice break here after that booming punt to start at your 20 as opposed to your 1 yard line. Reese is going to come out of the shotgun here. And he's looking downfield. He's got Franz fingertips on the ball, but he's not able to haul it in. Just out of reach.
Yeah, excellent coverage provided by the Dubois DB there. But Talon really showed off his arm there. I mean, that was a heck of a throw, and he just missed that catch.
It was near a 40-yard toss there, 45-yard ball from Reese.
Sorry, Jimmy, I'm trying to write down stats at the same time we're...
That's all right. I'm doing a little bit of math in my head, double-checking my own 45-yard call. Here's 2nd and 10. Be a handoff to Jordy, and again, they get to him in the backfield. He pushes the pile and maybe gets back to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, let's see if they give him the forward progress on that play.
Yeah. No gain. They called it 3rd and 10.
So nothing so far showing out for the Owls as far as adjustment, but.
Yeah, the run game really getting shut down here early. 3rd and 10 from their own 20.
Looks like Talon went over and got a couple options for what plays he wants to call. Checks over the defense.
Reese takes the snap. Quick pitch to the left side, and we've got a flag.
Yeah, it's almost definitely a foul start on the Owls there. Typically is when you see it before the ball is snapped.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. False start on the Owls. So now we've got a little bit of both. We've had the false start week 2 problem, the holding week 3 problem. Now we've had 2 holding penalties and a false start here in the second. Speaking of, still a scoreless tie with 9.5 minutes to go in the first half.
Yeah, I was surprised at first by that play call to try to run it being so deep there, 3rd and 10, but I'm really not, because Dubois had 8 DBs on the field, so they were really spread out, so I like that play call.
Probably catch you sleeping a little bit as well. And here's a handoff, but it's a little bit of misdirection.
Yeah, it looked like a little reverse there. It was initially handed off to Jordan Thompson. Jordan immediately handed it to A.J. Gleason, who looks like he might have gotten a yard or two on the play, but they're calling it 4-yard gain for the Owls. Brings up 4th and 11 from the 19.
So the Owls will, again, punt it away. And what we've seen so far is Dubois started with possession, turnover on downs. Bradford, his first possession ended in a blocked punt. Then we had another Dubois turnover on downs. Then back-to-back Dubois and Bradford and Dubois punt. And now another
punt from the Owls. And that was a nice, got a friendly roll on that to knock it all the way back to Dubois' own 40. So looks like Havlin is feeling pretty good tonight. After no nerves after the first blocked punt there, he's able to get that one off cleanly.
So Dubois will take over again, 1st and 10 from their own 40 with 8.5 minutes to go in the second quarter.
Yeah, it looks like the Owls have subbed a couple other linemen in there. Looks like big Liam Havens taking up a nose tackle position in their traditional four. Looks like they got four backers out on the field as well.
And here's first down for the Beavers. Man in motion. Snap and handoff right up the middle. Lots of room. First down and across midfield. Drag down near the 47-yard line.
Yeah, definitely got the first down there. Looked like their blocking held and opened up a giant hole for their back there, but brought down by A.J. Gleason. But again, not before a first down for Dubois.
So a nice job there from the Beavers and from Gleason, really, to keep that from being more than it was. Though on its own, it was plenty as they get back into Bradford territory. Schrock out of the shotgun. Low snap, but he's able to handle it. Another handoff right up the middle. And again, second and third attempts.
Yeah, they got hit in the backfield by Liam Haven, and he got a hold of his jersey, but the young man just legged it out and was able to get away from him and break free. But looked like Matt Perry and A.J. Gleason in on the tackle for the Owls.
So that was a gain of 9.
It's going to bring up 2nd and 1.
So back-to-back big runs broken off here for Dubois. And the Owls again needing to try to stand the Beavers up. They've got a little bit more space behind them than they did last time. Here's another handoff.
Oof.
And he's able to, again, slip by that first contact. I think took his tights down a little bit. And
yeah.
Then he's dragged down after the first down.
Yeah, they got in there. Evan Whitmore got in there initially, hit him behind the line. He was able to bounce off that tackle, but he couldn't escape Liam Haven once he got his hands around him. So nice, solid tackle by Liam on their textbook.
So that, again, last three runs have been Garrett Nissel. So after initially spreading the ball around, seems like maybe they were just looking for the hot hand. Nissel ends up getting the call, and now he's getting a lot of work in on this possession. Schrock out of the shotgun again. Nissel with him in the backfield. This time he's going to keep it. Screen play. And
nice.
Brought down right after it's caught.
Yeah, Andrew Giordano again. He's all over the field tonight. He lines up in the defensive end position, but he was able to come out and bust up that or spot that screen pass and bring him down for a minimal gain. So excellent, excellent play by Andrew Giordano.
Yeah, just about a yard or so on that play. Bring up 2nd and 9. They are lined up on Bradford's 36 as Schrock goes back to the shotgun. Low snap again. He's handled it. And he's getting chased down.
That's grounding.
Tries to get out of it. And we'll see if
they're called. The referee's calling it down. So that's going to be a sack for Eric Himes of your Owls. A referee saying his knee, quarterback's knee was on the ground before he let go of the ball. So another big play, another big stand for your Bradford Owls.
You know, if it wasn't a sack, it might have been a grounding, intentional grounding. So
yeah, absolutely. So a great play either way for the Owls.
It does turn into a big loss of yards for Dubois. 3rd and 17 on the 44.
So the Owls showing a little bit of their strength in here again. So.
They went back to that three lineman setup. Schrock drops back, running out of time. Now he's calling for a block. He's going to take off. He's got room on the sideline, and he's going to get a little bit of space to the 35, maybe.
Yeah, I'm not a football expert by any means, but I'm not sure how there wasn't a holding call on Dubois right there. I mean, our defender, number 55, which is Braylon Little, he was grabbed by his jersey and tackled in the backfield there. So I'm not sure how they got away with that, but nonetheless, the Owls were able to come up with a tackle by Nick DeGolier.
So they stop him 5 yards short of the first. So it's 4th and 5. Schrock rolls out right side. Got a man. It's caught and brought down, I think, just short of the first down line.
Yeah, Jordan Thompson brings him down, makes contact with him. As soon as the ball touches his hand, it looks like they're going to be about a yard short, Rick.
So another.
It is, yes.
The third turnover on downs tonight for Dubois.
So Bradford's defense is kind of bend but don't break right now. And I'm actually surprised it's still a scoreless game with 4 minutes
to go. Still scoreless, yeah. 0-0 with 4:42 to go in the first half as Bradford takes back over. 1st and 10 from their own 24. And here's the snap. Reese surveying. Let's one go to Franz. It's complete for a first down.
Yes, they're going to call that a catch. Looked like just a quick out, and Franz knew right where he's at in comparison to where the field marker was. So looks like they're going to call him just shy of that. So another pass and catch by Reese to number 10.
Yeah, Franz, nice job, and a great ball by Reese to put it right where he needed to. Now a screen play on the other side, but it flies over the head of Ward to bring up a third and one.
Third and one for the Owls from their own 38-yard line. You know what? I've been watching the defense, our defense, and as Coach Puglio brought up, they do have a big offensive line, Dubois does. But Bradford, so far, I think, has been effectively using their speed and quickness to counter that. They've been doing a good job. Like I said, they've been bending and not breaking. And let's see if the offensive line can pick up the slack here and do some of the same.
Third and one. Reese sends a man in motion. And it's going to be handed off. Contact again in the backfield. Thompson trying to push it forward.
Yeah, he was there. As soon as he got hit, as soon as he touched the ball, he got hit. It looked like he was trying to, maybe with forward momentum, they'll give him the call, but.
No,
we're going to mark that as a yard loss for the Owls.
So the Owls now, going to punt it away.
Fourth and two from the 39.
So that brings Haviland back in to punt it away. They do gain a little bit on the battle of field position there. And this punt is going to sail, bounce near the 35. Wow, great roll. Great ball by Haviland inside the 20 before it goes out of bounds.
Yeah, that was excellent. The ball just danced right down the sideline there and rolled another 15, 20 yards after initially contacted the ground there. So that's going to bring up a first and 10 for the Dubois Beavers from their own. It's like about the 20.
Yeah, great ball from Haviland. I mean, was able to keep that on the sideline, and it just kept rolling. Finally went out of bounds near the 20, first and 10. So that really bodes well in this battle for field position here during the scoreless tie. 3 minutes, 30 seconds to go in the half. And, of course, Bradford declining to start the game means they'll get possession in the second half. So if they're able to maintain this upper hand in the field position battle, could find the end zone before halftime. Man in motion here for Schrock and Dubois. Going to be a handoff. And contact right at the line. Looks like no gain on the play.
Yeah, they may have even lost the yard. And it was Evan Whitmore in on the tackle. And he was bringing him down a couple other hours, including A.J. Gleason, jumped on to make sure he wasn't going nowhere. So another tackle for loss for Evan Whitmore so far tonight. That's the second one in this first half.
Yeah, loss of a yard. Second and 11 now from the 19-yard line.
This is a game I wouldn't have expected. If you would have told me it was going to be 0-0 this deep into the first half, I probably wouldn't have believed you.
Yeah, real battle. Yeah, smash mouth battle. Now Schrock is looking. A lot of time for Schrock, and it's incomplete.
I was going to say, I thought for sure they were going to look like they were going to call that as a complete pass, but I seen pretty good view from here that definitely hit the ground before we were getting there.
Pretty nice ball, but sliding catch there, and he was down.
Yeah, it looked like Adam Ward on the coverage there for your Owls.
So that brings up third and 11, still at the 19-yard line, deep in Dubois' own territory. Schrock out of the shotgun. He's got trips to his right side. He's going to look that way and step up into the pocket. There's a flag on the play. Caught at the line of scrimmage, broken tackle, trying to switch field, and
he
touches down. Boy, where he touched down would be no gain, maybe a loss of a yard, but we'll see what this flag is.
The play looked like it got blown up.
Yeah, it is on Dubois, but it's declined.
Yeah, that the Owls opted to decline that penalty. Going to bring up a fourth and 11 for Dubois, and Bradford's going to have some time here with 2.5 minutes left to go in the first half.
Yeah, the penalty would push him back 10 yards, but it would also be a replay of third down. So what the Owls are banking on is it's 10 less yards that they have, but it's also another 30 seconds or so on your clock.
Right. Looks like Jake Fran's deep for your Owls.
The punt is up and away. Fran's calling for a fair catch, and he'll do so near the 43-yard line.
Yep, looks like 42, 43-yard line. So, and it still leaves 2:27 left for your Owls to see what their offense can do.
That 2 minutes, 27 seconds will indicate what Alvin Jones is a winner of here for Toji's touchdown sweepstakes. Again, if the Owls score in the winner's given quarter, they win a free lunch special from Toji Substation. If the Owls do not score in that quarter, you win a free meal off the free dinner off the Value Pack Meals menu at Toji's Family Restaurant. You can enter at either location, totally free, any day, and it runs all Owls football season long. Four winners every week, Toji's Touchdown Sweepstakes. Here are the Owls back at it, first and 10 from the 45. Reese with trips to his right side, takes the snap, and it's going to be a handoff, but again, just there in the backfield as soon as Thompson gets the ball.
Yeah, I mean, immediately, and we've seen that all year long, but typically he's been able to score him out and at least get a yard or two on plays such as that, but Dubois' defense just too much for him on that one.
They're really ganging up on him in the backfield. We've seen him escape a guy here and there and then get some momentum behind him to push a pile, but he's getting met by two or three guys at the line. This one goes for a 3-yard loss for a second and 12. Reese takes the snap. Looking to his left, he's got Franz, and it's going to go over the head of Jake Franz and fall incomplete.
Yeah, just a yard or two ahead of Jake Franz on that play, but I think they're seeing something on that side because Jake's been able to beat his defender here a couple of times now, so I'm not going to be a bit surprised if they go back in that direction. Or Dubois might start cheating that way a little bit, which is going to open up A.J. Gleason for us.
Yeah, starting to pull a little bit of double coverage out that way. And now empty backfield for Reese on third and 13. Trips to the right, two receivers on the left, and we've got a flag on the play.
Yeah,
might be another false start.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to guess, false start before the play even got going here.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So the Owls will tack on another 5 yards. We're looking at a third and 18 from the 37-yard line in their own territory here with a minute 42 to go. So actually, where the Owls were trying to save themselves some time to get downfield, now they're leaving a little bit of time in the event that they aren't able to convert this third and long.
I think this is the first field we've been to where the official on the field has access to the intercom
system. Right.
That's kind of neat down here at high school football level.
Shout out to Dubois for hooking up the officials. Short pass to A.J. Gleason over the middle. Gleason's got some room. He's across midfield approaching that first down line, and it looks like he's got the first down yardage as he's brought down near the 43, maybe the 44, but that's where he needed to get to.
Yeah, just a quick dump pass right over the middle, and A.J. was able to create some space and make a move and get the first down for the Owls, which gives them first and 10 from the 44.
Reese, another quick play, and this one's caught as well for another first down. Still on his feet, breaks a tackle and gets to the 30-yard line.
Again, Owls showing off their pass game and getting it out to Jordan Thompson and doing as I expected, get the ball to their playmakers here and let them do what they do best, and that's make plays. So Owls marching down the field here with just over a minute to go in the first half.
Another empty backfield, a little bit of a hurry-up offense, two-minute drill approaching the one-minute mark, first and 10 from the 30-yard line, and another false start is about to be called on the Owls.
Yeah, it was a 15-yard catch and throw from on the last play from Palin over to Jordy.
We'll wait for the official to make it official. But pretty sure that's another false start. We're communicating with the Dubois sideline.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the conversation's about here.
Yeah, false start on the Owls. So another 5 yard is really breaking up this little rally, this 2-minute drill for the Owls. Makes it first and 15 from the 24. Reese again with an empty backfield. Same formation, trips to the right side, and two receivers to his left. Low snap. Reese has to pick it up, and he somehow is handling it, and now has turned it upfield, actually into a gain of about 7 yards with a feet.
Yeah, really showing off his speed and athleticism there, being able to pick up that ball off the ground and avoid a defender and make a positive out of a negative there. So nice play for Talon Reese.
I thought he was going to have to just fall on that the way the defensive line was gunning him down. It's actually going to be, looks like an 8-yard gain, but
yeah, it looked like the Owls were taking a timeout here.
With 46 seconds to go, still a scoreless tie. We'll take a Tax-In timeout as well, brought to you by Tax-In Restaurant at the intersection of Routes 219 and 59 Lewis Run with the best homemade pierogies around. A Tax-In timeout, Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports.
It's a good day to do with the all-new Marilla and Kinzu knives, part of a new line of modern everyday carry knives from Case. Constructed with durable anodized aluminum handles and high-grade S35 VN blades, the Marilla and Kinzu easily flip open to make your everyday work quick and simple. And since they're named after local landmarks, their performance will inspire you to get out and do more. The modern Case Marilla and Kinzu, available every day at the Zippo Case Museum and Flagship Store.
WESB Sports.
Fresh from the Tax-In timeout, Talon Reese is on the go again, and this time he's in for the first down and in the red zone inside the 20 as he again makes something happen with his legs.
Yeah, it looked like that play was blown up in the backfield, but Talon, being the vision of the field that he has, is phenomenal for a young man this age and at this level, and he was able to break it to the near sideline here and get out of bounds. So not only a first down, but he stops the clock with 38.9 seconds to go in the first half here.
So the play before that, just before the timeout, was a low snap that he picked that ball right up off the ground, getting chased down by the defenders, was able to turn it upfield for a gain of 8. Now he runs this one for a first down. 16 yard line. Reese looking downfield, and it's incomplete.
Yeah, that looked like Reese had a pretty good pocket in there. I'm not real sure why he decided to bail out of that one, but needless to say, he did towards the near sideline here and just missed Adam Ward at about the 5-yard line. So incomplete pass for the Owls.
Yeah, looking for Ward. Would have had the first down yardage and had some defenders around, so might not have made it too awful far after that. But the Owls with 32 seconds left. Still a 0-0 game here. Second and 10 from the 16-yard line. Reese goes back to work with the empty backfield. Here's the snap. Dubois is showing a little aggression there on the line. Going to air one out to France.
Touchdown.
And it's caught.
Touchdown.
And it's a touchdown.
Jake France with a leaping catch right in the front corner of the far side end zone there brings it in for a touchdown for your Bradford Owls, which brings our score 6-0 with 25 seconds to play here in the first half.
That was it France? Or was it Himes?
It looked like number 10. That was France.
Okay, all right. Just making sure. So an excellent throw there and really the catch to bring that thing down.
Yeah, 16-yard touchdown pass for Talon Reese. Franz in now for the extra point. Kick is up, and
it's no good.
That's the first one we've seen him miss all year.
Wide right, and it was a bullet, but it went to the right side and no good. So the Owls do take the lead, and they knock the clock down to 25 seconds. So 6-0 is the score with 25 seconds left in the first half. The Owls get the first touchdown of the night. It's Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports.
Is your insurance coverage up to date? Call Burns & Burns and talk with Ben Kirsch about a free insurance review. Whether it's auto, home, life, health, Medicare, business, workers' comp, or benefits, let Burns & Burns advise you on the best coverages for you. Call Ben Kirsch at 814-368-7161 or stop by the new office location at 10 Chestnut Street in Bradford. Burns & Burns, a trusted full-service agency for over 80 years, now at 10 Chestnut Street in Bradford.
WESB Sports.
Welcome back to E.J. Mansell Stadium in Dubois, where the Owls have struck first. And with 25 seconds left in the first half, we have our first touchdown of the night. It's 6-0 after the extra point is no good. But Jalen Reese connects with Jake Franz on a 16-yard touchdown pass. Franz went up to get it, so an excellent job by him to come down with it right in the front corner of the end zone. And our second quarter contestant, Alvin Jones, does indeed win the free lunch special from Toji Substation. Wow, a booming punt, or a booming kickoff, rather, goes inside the five.
Uh-oh.
But he's a rocket, and it's going to be dragged down approaching midfield. Got to about the 45-yard line.
Yeah, Adam Ward on a touchdown-saving tackle right there brings him down around midfield. So Dubois still has 18, almost 18 and a half seconds left here to see what they can do. So I imagine the Owls are going to drop back, bring out some extra DBs, and try to keep them from opening it up through the air.
Absolutely exploded on that return. Great speed to bring it down at the 2 or 3 yard line and really quickly get to the 45. First and 10 for Dubois. Schrock out of the shotgun. He's rolling out to his right side. He's going to let one go. And looks like it's caught.
Yeah, he was hit as he threw the ball. It was a little slow getting up as Eric Himes laid the hammer on him, but he was able to get the ball off for a big gain. Brings the ball down to around the 25-yard line.
25-ish area with 11 seconds to go, 11.6 seconds. Let's see exactly. Yeah, 24. So first and 10 from the 24 with 11 seconds to go. Dubois with an excellent opportunity here to tie up the score heading into halftime, which the Owls fought all first half to take that six-point lead because they're going to start the third quarter with possession. Here's another one aired out. Jump ball, incomplete, with 5 seconds to go.
Adam Ward went up with the same time as the defender, and he was able to get his hands on the ball and at least knock it down to save another big play for Dubois. So excellent play by Adam Ward.
You know, really nice job by the receiver to get to that spot, and he had an open man there, did Schrock, but just too much time underneath as he let that ball soar a little bit. And with that hang time, the defender for Bradford was able to get there and contest that.
Yeah, Dubois is going ahead and calling a timeout here with 5.4 seconds remaining in the first half.
We'll keep it here as opposed to running to another tax-in timeout with just 5 seconds to go. And we'll see if the Owls can keep Dubois out of the end zone here. You know, after that battle of field position, war of attrition for the first two quarters almost entirely until the last minute the Owls are able to get on the board, and looking forward to the third quarter where they get the ball with a six-point lead and now all of a sudden find themselves trying to keep Dubois out of the end zone.
Yeah, we've seen the ball going up and down the field more in the last 2.5 minutes than we did the first, you know, full quarter. And I mean, the Owls had very little offensive firepower in that first quarter. I mean, they were actually negative yards total for the first quarter. Just one, but still negative yards. But
there was actually only three full possessions started and finished in that first quarter. Bradford had the fourth possession, their second of the quarter, but they punted it away to start the second.
Big play here for your Owls defense. Let's go, Owls.
Second and 10, Dubois, Schrock out of the shotgun, trips to his left side. One man in the backfield and one man to the right. Lots of time evading. He's going to throw it into the end zone. There's a man there. And I think that's going to be pass interference.
Yeah, that's going to be pass
interference. Got there very early.
Yeah, it looked like A.J. Gleason in there.
Yeah, it looked like a little bit of panic from Gleason as he wrapped up the receiver well before the ball got there.
Yeah, our scoreboard, the clock hit zero, but if I'm not mistaken, you cannot end a half or a game on a defensive penalty.
Yeah, that seems like it makes sense. So they'll probably have to put some amount of time on the clock, and will that be a half the distance? So it is pass interference. The feedback is unbelievable right now. Hopefully you can't hear that on the radio, so I do not know what he just said.
Half distance to the goal line on the
the pass interference call against the Owls, and they'll get one untimed down here. So that's going to...
Okay, so they're also going to call a timeout to draw up this play, as there is no time on the clock. They're just going to be able to snap the ball, and whatever happens is going to be the last play of the half, barring another penalty.
Right, and they got the ball at the 12-yard line on the far hash mark there, so I'm sure the Owls defense is going to call up a good play for us here, and I have full confidence in this, but the Owls are going to stand. There'll be a big boost going into halftime with a lead, especially here in Dubois, who we've struggled with for quite some time now. So,
could have had this half over with if not for the defensive pass interference, but you know, knowing that the clock is running down and that ball is coming towards the end zone, it's easy to say, well, what a bonehead play, but boy, just the nerves and the jumpiness of not letting that guy catch a ball.
Right. I mean, who knows? It could have saved a touchdown.
Yeah, exactly. Had he not done that, maybe it turns into a touchdown. As opposed to now, where they actually...
Jimmy, it looks like they're lining up for a
field goal.
Yeah. So let's go, Owls. Let's break through there and block this one.
So they're going to try and attempt at 3 points. You would assume they have a pretty good kicker here to do this rather than go for the touchdown attempt.
Yeah, I'd say.
Yeah. Wow. And that one had a lot of leg. It splits the uprights.
That was impressive.
Yeah, nice ball there, and it does cut into the lead a little bit. The field goal makes it 6-3, but the Owls still lead and still have possession to start the second half. Again, 6-3.
Yeah, 6-3 lead for the Owls here, which has got to be a huge confidence boost for them. Not that the team was underconfident coming in here, but that just reassures. And if you're just now listening or you've been a detractor here for a while, your Owls are for real, Jimmy. They are playing well. Things aren't necessarily going the way that we want them to here, but we're still up 6-3 against Dubois in Dubois going into halftime.
They escaped that first half, which was a real battle and back and forth. A lot of turnover on downs, a lot of punts in that first half, but they do escape it with a 3-point lead. And again, possession to start the third quarter. So it's 6-3, Bradford leads. It's Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports.
Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports is brought to you by these local sponsors. The Model T Inn, Allegheny Bradford Corporation, Allegheny Vein and Vascular, W.R. Case & Sons, Toji's Restaurant, Toji's Substation, Kathy Obermeyer of ERA Team VP Real Estate, Burns & Burns Insurance, Team Miner, In Tandem, Dexter's Service & Collision, Zimmerman Real Estate, Gleason Construction, and Ameriprise Financial. This is Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports, AM 1490, B107.5 FM, and streaming at WESB.com and 100.1 The Heroes mobile apps.
It's the family bar with the car. The Model T Inn in Derrick City. You'll always get great meals and a relaxed family atmosphere at the Model T. Stop in Fridays and treat yourself to one of Jason's delicious fish fries and their other tasty menu items anytime. Relax and enjoy your dinner or drinks outdoors on their beautiful expanded deck and patio area. You'll love it. Whenever you're looking for a great night out, meet your friends at the family bar with the car. The Model T Inn in Derrick City.
It's Friday Night Lights and the Bradford Owls are ready to bring it. Kathy Obermeyer of ERA Team VP Real Estate knows that teamwork and dedication are the keys to success. Kathy applauds the Bradford area high school football players, cheerleaders, band members, and coaches. Play hard, play smart, have fun. Kathy Obermeyer of ERA Team VP Real Estate is a proud sponsor of the Bradford Owls. Let's go Owls!
In Tandem is a leading provider of services to people with developmental disabilities and mental health concerns in Western New York. With all that's changed over the years, In Tandem's mission has remained constant: quality care, support, and togetherness. We are better together, and you may just be better with them. In Tandem is a major employer of direct care workers, nurses, and other human services professionals with new pay rates and a strong benefit package. In Tandem is a great place to build a career. Visit intandem.org to find out how you can make a difference today.
It's a good day to do with the all-new Marilla and Kinzu knives, part of a new line of modern, everyday carry knives from Case. Constructed with durable, anodized aluminum handles and high-grade S35 VN blades, the Marilla and Kinzu easily flip open to make your everyday work quick and simple. And since they're named after local landmarks, their performance will inspire you to get out and do more. The modern Case Marilla and Kinzu, available every day at the Zippo Case Museum and Flagship Store.
Is your insurance coverage up to date? Call Burns & Burns and talk with Ben Kirsch about a free insurance review. Whether it's auto, home, life, health, Medicare, business, workers' comp, or benefits, let Burns & Burns advise you on the best coverages for you. Call Ben Kirsch at 814-368-7161 or stop by the new office location at 10 Chestnut Street in Bradford. Burns & Burns, a trusted full-service agency for over 80 years, now at 10 Chestnut Street in Bradford.
Team Miner is your source for custom screen printing and embroidery, team uniforms, T-shirts, hats, and more. From concept to completion, Team Miner in Bradford is there for you. Team Miner provides top-quality products and exceptional design done by professionals, so there's no need to go online or leave town. And with decades of experience, Team Miner can bring you the best quality at the best price. For more information, go to TeamMiner.com, and remember, when it looks good, people will wear it. Team Miner!
Helping bring you this football broadcast is a special group of sponsors, the WESB Winner's Circle. Participants include these local area businesses: W.R. Case & Sons, makers of quality American-made knives since 1889, Dexter's Service & Collision on West Washington Street in Bradford, and In Tandem in Olean, enhancing the lives of people with disabilities through supports and services. Winner's Circle sponsors putting you in the game all season long, right here on your season ticket, WESB Sports in Bradford.
WQAM Bradford.
WESB Bradford.
B107.5 FM.
This is Bradford Owls High School Football.
Welcome back to EJ Mansell Stadium. It's time for the Bradford Owls halftime show on WESB Sports, presented by CJ Wallace Engineering in Bradford. The Owls in Dubois tonight up 6-3 after the first half of play. And it's been a battle thus far, but the Owls have come out on top, though we did just find out that Dubois has pretty good field goal kicker on the team.
Yeah, they did. I mean, it was a 23-yarder, and he had room for probably another 15 to 20 more yards on that. He really boomed that kick, so that was impressive.
Yeah, split the upright. So we'll see if that becomes something that affects the game later on. Right now, again, a 6-3 game. The Owls and Dubois have been fairly evenly matched, with the Owls just able to find the end zone tonight. Here's how it's broken down so far. The Owls won the coin toss to begin the game. They deferred, so Dubois started with possession. That first possession didn't go awful far. They were able to move the chains a couple times. They eventually turn over on downs.
The Owls' defense, bend but don't break, has been the name of the game tonight. It seems like Dubois is pretty easily able to push the ball downfield, but when the Owls do need to stand up and make a stand, they've definitely done that. And it's been, you know, a handful of guys in there to help out and making the big plays for them. Again, Evan Whitmore's having a pretty good game tonight. We've seen Eric Himes in there making some plays. And also our backup quarterback, Andrew Giordano, so far.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been in with four tackles and has a sack and a half tonight. So pretty impressive for the Owls so far. And, of course, A.J. Gleason being typical A.J., where he's getting his nose in there on the ball, laying down some hits, and just wreaking havoc out there. And that's one benefit the Owls defense has, is no matter what team we're playing, they have to take into account where A.J. Gleason is. And many times he lines up center, dead center, middle of the field, but his speed and athleticism is able to get him to wherever the ball goes. So he's a real ball hawk out there for us.
Yeah, he covers a lot of ground. We saw it on that one play. He almost actually made a play on the ball for an interception. Came from, you know, dead center of the hash marks and made a play on an interception at the sideline. To start things off, we already mentioned that turnover on downs for Dubois. Bradford was their first possession, also didn't get very far, and they tried to punt it away, but Dubois blocked the punt. So they end up starting with pretty good field position, but Bradford stands up. They don't let him get anywhere, and it's another turnover on downs for the Beavers. Bradford gets the ball back, and they, the first quarter went by so quickly, and Bradford, again, was set up to punt it away. Now, the first quarter actually ends just before they're about to punt. It ends on a 4th-and-3. So we start the second quarter. Bradford punts. We trade that back and forth a little bit, trying to win this battle of field position, but never really getting too awful far. Finally, Dubois has the turnover on downs, and the Owls, with approaching 2 minutes, inside of 2 minutes left on the clock, start to go into a little bit of a hurry-up offense. Empty backfield for Talon Reese, fighting through the penalties that they've had all game, and that continued in that 2 minute offense setup as well. But Reese eventually makes a couple plays with his feet, and then finds Jake Franz in the front corner of the end zone. For a touchdown from 16 yards out. The extra point, however, was no good, so it's 6-0. Bradford leads. Dubois with, less than a minute, something like 40-some seconds left on the clock, is able to return the ensuing kickoff near midfield, and then throws a nice ball down to get him closer to the 25-30, and then as time ticks to zero, pass interference in the end zone is called on the Owls. They get one play left as the clock is at double zeros. They get one snap. Down doesn't matter. Time doesn't matter. One snap from the 12-yard line, and they elect to go for that field goal before halftime. Ends up going for 29 yards, splits the uprights, and that's how we get to 6-3. So I'll be interested to see if some adjustment somewhere is able to really build some momentum and able to, either whether it be on the offensive or defensive side, is able to switch something here, if this is going to be another half of battling it out and trying to just win that battle of field position.
Yeah, I don't think that last second field goal has taken much momentum away from our Owls. They ran in there, heads up, fired up, and I noticed that last drive by Dubois, a little bit of chippiness between the two teams down here,
yeah.
And the Owls are just standing up for themselves. They're not the team to be pushed around anymore, and they're going to play their hearts out, and they have been playing their hearts out, and I expect them to come out. They're going to get the ball first. I'm confident this staff is going to be able to make adjustments for them to open up the game for them a little more. And as I see it, they got some playmakers down there. So I expect them fully to try to get the ball in the hands of their playmakers and do more of the same, a little bit, maybe more of a hurry-up offense like they did the last part of that second half.
You know, what's been really encouraging to see, and we'll get into this more as we go through your stats here in just a few minutes, but what's been really encouraging to see here is you look at week two, the first one of the season in Cottersport, and we saw that the Owls, really, the offense was flowing through Reese's arm. Those long plays to Jake Franz, obviously Gleason had a part in it, Jordy Thompson had a part in it, but it was most of the scoring was coming from Talon Reese, from the throws, from Jake Franz. Now, last week, week two, Otto Eldred, a lot of the offense flowed through Jordy and that run game. He didn't end up with all of the touchdowns or anything like that, but a lot of that run not only was successful, but opened up other avenues for the Owls, and Reese had a couple of plays as well, which leads into what we're seeing here tonight. Dubois has been able to shut down the run, essentially. Jordy Thompson has been hit in the backfield just about every time he touches the ball. Franz has found a way to get some work downfield, but he is being, pretty heavily covered. And Reese has made kind of the adjustment and is now making the big plays that he needs with his legs by himself, and it's been really impressive.
Yeah, and he's picked up a couple chunks of yards, like the 16-yard touchdown to Franz there.
Yeah.
I mean, he's also got a 19-yard pass and catch to A.J. and a 15-yard to Jordy Thompson out of the backfield.
That's right.
There. So he's starting to find his groove, starting to find his way. Just from what I see up here, I think there's been a time or two where he's got out of the pocket probably a little quicker than he could have. It looked like their line was holding up and really formed a nice U-shaped barrier around them, but he elected to, he's seen something down there, so he's been rolling out, and you can't say enough about how accurate he is, especially on the run.
Yeah. Yeah, he's done an excellent job, and being able to find a way, even when another avenue was starting to break down, being able to find a way to keep the ball moving, to eventually get in the end zone, though it did take quite a while tonight. They do eventually get in the end zone, and it counts for something because they right now have the only touchdown of the night. They hang on to a three-point lead. We're about halfway through halftime, so we're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll go through the first half stats and finish up the Bradford Owls halftime show presented by C.J. Wallace Engineering in Bradford. Again, 6-3, Bradford leads DuBois. It's Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports.
Gleason Construction Incorporated is Bradford's top family-owned and operated general contractor, providing general construction services and specializing in new commercial buildings since 2017. Gleason Construction Incorporated offers everything from the ground up, including concrete and foundation work, carpentry, excavation, landscaping, and so much more. Visit their website at Gleason-Construction.com to find out more about what Gleason Construction Incorporated can do for you.
Toji's Family Restaurant on East Main Street has all homemade Italian specialties. Spaghetti and meatballs, baked lasagna, chicken parm, chicken spinach alfredo, plus fresh-cut steaks and fresh beer-battered fish fries 7 days a week. Enjoy their fresh garden bar buffet with homemade soups. Check out their authentic 28-foot full-service boat bar. Toji's on-premise banquet room caters up to 125. Open every day, even holidays. For delivery, call 36-TOJIS.
What is your healing power? Maybe your healing power is helping veterans with PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, depression, anxiety, or loneliness. Is your healing power a simple, heartfelt letter or being a volunteer? It is estimated that over 500,000 current warfighters will return from service diagnosed with PTSD. And 22 veterans will commit suicide every day. Our veterans have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country. At HealVets.org, you can find out more about the healing power of pen pals, volunteers, therapy kits, and more. Discover your healing power at HealVets.org. Help Heal Veterans, together with you, has been helping one recovering veteran at a time. We are helping veterans heal together. What is your healing power? To find out about your power, visit HealVets.org. This PSA is sponsored by Help Heal Veterans.
Navigating the housing market can be a challenge, whether you're buying or selling a home. Talk to Zimmerman Realty, a team of real estate experts in our area. Zimmerman Realty can introduce you to the most up-to-date listings in Bradford, Smethport, and Eldred. They can even show you properties that are listed with other real estate agencies. If you're looking to sell, Zimmerman Realty offers a free market analysis to help you determine the value of your home. Visit their website and sign up today at ZimmermanRealtyLLC.com.
Owned locally, respected worldwide, that's the Allegheny Bradford family of companies in Lewis Run. They're a leading manufacturer, supplier, and service provider of quality stainless steel products used the world over, from small food processors to giant pharmaceutical companies. Allegheny Bradford, Allegheny Surface Technology, and ABC Actini. Owned locally, respected worldwide. To see all they do and explore employment opportunities, visit them online at AlleghenyBradford.com.
WESB Sports.
Welcome back to DuBois for Bradford Owls football. We're currently in the Owls halftime show presented by C.J. Wallace Engineering in Bradford. We've got about 5 minutes to go in halftime. We've talked about the scoring recap and how things have looked thus far. Again, the Owls with a 6-3 lead. So, Mark, why don't you take over? Put on your other hat here as our statistician and let us know how things are breaking down thus far.
Yeah, we're going to start out tonight with our defensive stats. So far we have A.J. Gleason with 5 tackles on the night. Evan Whitmore, 4 tackles and a sack. Andrew Giordano, sophomore backup quarterback, stepping up. He's got 4 tackles and a sack and a half. He combined on that sack with Eric Himes, who also has 3 tackles on the night. So common names that we're typically calling on defense for the Owls, they're stepping up and doing well. On the offensive side of the ball, mostly it's been flowing through Talon Reese as he's 8 for 12 for 82 yards in that 16-yard touchdown pass. He's also got 19 yards on the ground, so being forced out of the pocket a little bit but still making plays, so it's good to see. Jake France with the 16-yard touchdown catch, and Jordy Thomas has a couple catches for 26 yards tonight for the Owls.
You do the Thomas a lot. And I know you
Tom's
know his name.
I know. I've known this family for years. I mean, I went to high school with both their parents, and I apologize for that.
No, I know that you know him so well, which is why it always strikes me as almost comical.
Yeah, I try to get in a hurry, and I just skip over it, I guess.
Should just start calling him Thomas, I suppose.
Yeah, let's just stick with Jordy. That's easy.
All right, Jordy's good. like that. As well. Anyways, Jordy's a good name. Again, still that the halftime show and the marching beavers, I guess. Who knows?
Yeah,
the marching band for Du Bois is down here playing some Tom Petty, which is
a little surprising. You don't hear that often.
Yeah,
sounds pretty good as well.
It's pretty neat. Yeah, I'm digging it. As we tick down to the last couple of minutes here, and again, trying to look to see what kind of adjustments the Owls might make now. We've seen the struggles in the run game thus far and not really being able to get Jordy Thompson with the ball and with any amount of space. Do you think that's something they'll stick with, try to, you know, make some tricks on the offensive line?
Yeah, I think we'll see what they did a couple games ago there. They ran some jet sweeps and some more off-tackle type plays, which puts more blockers at the point of attack for the Owls. And, you know, the spacing in between the offensive line and maybe tighten that up a little bit. But so far tonight, unfortunately, Du Bois has been able to break right through the middle of that offensive line. The Owls have really got most of their yards on the edges, with the exception of that one dump pass to A.J. right over the middle. I mean, just a two-yard dump pass, and A.J. made a play on that. So I fully expect this offensive line to come out fired up. I fully expect them to, you know, read their keys and make the blocks and make something happen here.
Yeah, it is interesting in that the run game has been bunched up in the backfield by multiple of the linemen multiple times. However, Reese does seem to have some protection and is being provided a pocket for the most part. So it's weird that they're able to break through on that run, but not on the pass.
He is. And there's been a couple of plays, like I've mentioned previously, where I think he bailed out of the pocket just a touch too soon. However, we're up here. He's down there. He's got a much better view than we do. So obviously he felt something. But
nobody's running towards us with pads and a helmet on.
Right, because I'll just lay down.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody's running in towards me, so it's easy for us to talk about up here. We've got about a minute to go before the start of the third quarter, so we'll take another break, and when we come back, we'll be ready for the second half, which the Owls will start with possession, and they're a 6-3 lead. And this has been the Bradford Owls Halftime Show, presented by CJ Wallace Engineering on WESB Sports.
When tomorrow is unpredictable, staying focused on your long-term financial goals matters more than ever. Count on your Ameriprise financial advisor for personalized, goal-based advice to help you navigate now and stay on track for tomorrow. Call Ameriprise financial advisor Bill Chapman with Hodgin Chapman & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, at 814-368-9160. That's 814-368-9160. Office is located at 50 Davis Street, Bradford, PA.
Hey guys, it's me, Isabella Gomez, filling in for Smokey Bear because he's got more to say than just...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Like, if you're outside enjoying a barbecue, don't let a hamburger distract you from fire safety. Make sure you aren't dumping your hot coals or ashes onto the ground because that could start a wildfire. So take wildfire prevention seriously and let's save the world one day at a time. Juntos con Smokey Bear, podemos hacerlo. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
WESB Sports.
Welcome back to Du Bois for Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports. The Owls have retaken the field. Both teams are out of the locker rooms. Owls are going to circle up, do a little stretching, get ready to go, and we'll be ready for the third quarter of action. We talked about that first half of football and kind of we hope to see offensively as far as adjustments. Defensively, now they've been pretty successful when they have to be, but
yes,
they've given up some plays as well. See anything in particular that they could switch up to try to, you know, they've been bending but not breaking, as you said. Well, let's not bend anymore.
Right. I think from what I've seen, a lot of it's been almost over aggression. It seems they've been over pursuing the ball. So I mean, you don't really want to
coach that aggression out of them. But right. at the same time, you want them to be in control enough to be able to adjust when they need to and make the tackle instead of over pursuing, as we mentioned.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I believe they're playing well. I think they're playing well. They're getting good play out of the DBs downfield. Our linebackers are really doing a nice job up front. Dubois has – they have a very large offensive line, but the Owls have been able to find their way through that. They're using their speed and their agility much better than they did, say, against Punxsutawney in the first week. I mean, Punxsutawney just was able to dominate us right in the trenches, and not so much here. The Dubois line is big, but – they don't seem to be very fast.
Not quite as commanding.
Right. And yeah. I mean, you would think a line like that size would be a little bit, have a little bit more aggression to them, a little more bite to them. But so far, I mean, they're big, but I haven't really been impressed with them. But again, I'm not down on the field with their hands around me.
Yep.
So far, I got to be honest with you, Jimmy, I'm pretty impressed with the Owls and their defense. I mean, they've given up some plays, but they make the plays when they need to.
Well, you know, all that being said, they have held the Beavers to just 3 points here through the first two quarters, and that includes them starting with possession. So they've got one extra turn with the ball over the Owls, who are going to start with possession here in the third quarter as we tick down to the final 30 seconds before we get that underway. Now, the Owls, again, as they come out on offense, and we'll be looking for that Thompson to we'll be looking for Jordy to see if he can create some space and see if he can, you know, get a little bit of the yards after contact that we've not come to know him for. I think we're going to be looking towards that Reese to Franz connection and see how that develops, because he was really finding some space. He got overthrown a couple of times, but then he did find him in the end zone for the touchdown. I'll be interested to see, you know, if Dubois is able to contain that or if maybe Reese is going to further exploit it.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised even to see Kohler, bring Kohler in just to show off his speed, try to get him, you know, some work in an open field there, because that kid is an absolute rocket. And he's got some moves, too. I mean, I've seen him pull some spin moves, some stutter steps, so maybe get the ball in the hands of the playmakers, not necessarily the typical ones we see on a Friday night, but also some of these younger guys have been making an impression, and Kohler being one of them.
A little shake and bake action is what you're looking for, I believe.
Absolutely.
So I think that's going to officially wrap up the halftime show. Again, presented by C.J. Wallace Engineering in Bradford. Both teams have hit the sidelines. We've got 12 minutes on the clock, and we are about to get into the third quarter of action. Dubois coming out with their kickoff personnel, and the Owls, I assume, will send Jake Franz deep.
Yeah, looks like Franz going deep. Looks like Thompson is back there as well.
Yeah, and Gleason on the other side.
Yeah. Who's that on the near side? Oh, that looks like Kohler out here on the near side as well. Well, here we go, Jimmy. It's going to be an exciting second half.
We'll get underway as the referee signals. And the kick is up. It's a dart. And it's going to go out of bounds.
Yeah, so a flag on the field for that'll bring the ball up to what, to 35, I believe.
Yeah, something like that. 35 at least, I think.
We'll see.
It's been a little while since I've seen. Yeah. So that's a penalty on the kicking team as it traveled out of bounds, and they'll set up. My word, that feedback.
It's terrible.
It is atrocious.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be
35.
Yep, on the near hash mark here as your Owls are working left to right on your radio.
Well, see the first look here. Reese is going to come out and will most likely, in all likelihood, work out of the shotgun. He's got Jordy Thompson in the backfield with him and double twins. He's going to send a man in motion. It's A.J. Gleason working from left to right. So now he's got trips to the right side, and this play is whistled dead.
So whistle, stop the play, then drop the flag? I'm not understanding this here.
Yeah, he casually walked up. Yeah, it's another false start on the Owl, so a 5-yard penalty.
Yeah, that's their third one so far this game. It's going to bring up a first and 15 from the 30 for the Owls.
So obviously not exactly what the Owls were looking for coming out of the halftime break. They've had at least two other false starts. That's at least their third. Reese again out of the shotgun. Now trips to the left side, but it's going to be delayed handoff to Jordy. And yeah, he's brought down again right near that line of scrimmage.
Yeah, again, he's hit as soon as he touches the ball, but able to get a yard or two out of that to lessen the hurt on there.
Yeah, I was able to at least fall forward on that one, but still is going to be called a loss of two. And immediately the Owls are in a 2nd-and-17 situation from their own 28.
Yeah, it looks like Talon over to the sideline to get the next call or two in and drops back into his typical shotgun formation.
Let's go third quarter contestant for Toji's touchdown sweepstakes. It's Kyle Sweet. Kyle Sweet. Here's the quick throw from Reese. It's complete. And was that Gleason dragging that defender up?
It was Gleason. Looked like just a quick slant. Gleason got it, took a little bit of a hit, bounced off that, and was able to get a couple more yards to bring it up near the initial line of scrimmage.
Yeah, so about a 7-yard gain or so, maybe a 6-yard gain to make it 3rd-and-11. Back to the 34-yard line for the Owls in their own territory. Reese again has Thompson in the backfield, trips on the left side. And he'll take the snap, pump fake.
With time.
Now he's going to roll out to his right. Fires one downfield, and it's incomplete.
Yeah, it looked like he was going for Kohler there on the sideline as he went out in a quick cutback, but he really fired that ball.
Yeah.
Kohler just wasn't able to quite come up with it.
So. Had some mustard on that one.
So it's going to bring up a 4th-and-11 for your Owls from their own 34-yard line.
That'll bring Haviland back in the game.
See if he can get another boomer like he has the first couple.
Brody Haviland across midfield and caught.
Ooh,
and
ball on the ground.
Muffed again.
The Owls got it.
The Owls jumped on top of that ball near the 38-yard line.
Dubois muffed the play, and Eric Himes jumps on the ball. So that's going to be an Owls ball in Dubois territory. Let's give him a first down at about the 40-yard line.
And I think it was Himes that almost made the play when that was muffed.
I believe
on the previous
right, yes.
Punt. So nice job there. Himes comes up with the fumble return on the muffed punt.
So it's going to bring up a 1st-and-10 for the Owls from the 39-yard line. So a break there for Owls. Let's capitalize on this and start to open this game up a little bit.
And here's Reese. He's going to get wrapped up in the backfield for a loss.
Yeah, wrapped up and brought down in the backfield. He was able to fall forward, though, so it only looks like it's going to be about a 2-yard loss for Talon on that play. So again, the middle of the line just kind of broke down there on the Owls, and Dubois was able to get a couple of linebackers in there. But still not unmanageable. I mean, we're setting 2nd-and-14. So
yeah, 2nd-and-14 from the Dubois 43. So even if this does, you know, if this turns into another battle field position wise, then that muffed punt is going to go a long way. That fumble recovery. Reese looking to his right side.
Oof.
Almost intercepted.
Yeah. Looked like Talon was looking to come out to Kohler out here on the near towards the near hash mark, but the Dubois defender just stepped right in front of that. Lucky that he didn't pick that off because there was nothing but green grass in front of him.
Yeah, had Kohler right on the flat near the 40-yard line. And as you said, luckily that one was dropped. It does bring up a 3rd-and-14, so a little bit of ground to make up here. Still on the 43-yard line. And Reese is... Let's see if they go back to that empty... Nope, they're going to have Thompson in the backfield. Now, they had the most effective drive with just an empty backfield. It's a little shovel pass to Thompson. And again, immediately touched on the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, and lost another yard on that. So that's going to bring up a 4th-and-14 for the Owls. Jordan just can't seem to break through here tonight.
You know, might think about just going back to that 5-wide empty backfield and just seeing, you know, it worked in the 2-minute drill.
Right. And the Owls set up in a punt formation here.
Yeah, Haviland on the field again, 2nd time in the last minute of play. And this one is going to drop inside the 20.
Excellent.
And nice Owls roll inside the 5. and comes to a stop in between the 2 and 3 yard line.
Yeah, excellent punt, a good roll, and it looked like it was Kohler down there to stop that. So the power of field position at its best here. So they're gonna win it so far.
Yeah, at the 2 yard line for DuBois. Wow, what a punt by Haviland. So an excellent job there. Back-to-back punts. One of them's muffed and recovered by Eric Himes. And the other one plants DuBois at their own 2 yard line. First and 10 with 9 minutes to go in the third quarter. DuBois takes over deep in their own territory. I formation for Schrock. And it'll be handed off to the fullback. And I think I might have seen a face mask there.
There's all kinds of laundry on the field. Nice seeing a face mask on both sides there. So it looked
okay.
Like
we'll see if they both get called. That by itself is going to be a pretty nice chunk. Nice little gain for DuBois. But
let's see what the referee has to say. There's a little conversation.
We'll see. If yeah, face mask, yeah. So that one's on Olean. On Olean. That one's on Bradford.
Yeah, that's a big one, too. A 15-yard personal foul.
Yeah, just the
penalty.
One.
So there goes that chance of the field position battle. All over. I mean, it only brings it out to about the 17, 18-yard. Well,
yeah,
it's like 23-yard line.
The credit to Haviland is that he pinned it so deep that huge face mask penalty still has him, you know, just barely outside of their own 20. Set up now at the 23 for a first and 10.
High form again for DuBois.
Interesting. Must be they liked what they saw there on that fullback dive. Again, even without the face mask,
again,
was a good 7-yard
hit in the backfield by Whitmore. That ball might be loose. Nope, they're calling it still DuBois' ball. He was able to get about a yard on that, but Evan Whitmore blasted through the line and laid a pretty good hit on the fullback for DuBois.
1 yard gain. So officially a 1 yard gain brings up second and 9 from the 24. Scoreboard operator there. All over the place. Here's the snap, and it's to their halfback.
Oh,
wow, pitch left
free.
Side, all the way wide open across midfield, 40, 30, 20, one man chasing him down.
Jake,
wow,
got him.
Jake Franz somehow chased him down and brought him down inside the 5. Jake Franz absolutely rocketed downfield
yeah,
to save that touchdown.
Quick. Yeah, he just had a good angle and showed off his speed and got down there and was able to knock him down right before he got in. It looks like it's going to be first and 5 from the 5, though, for DuBois.
That was Garrett Nissel again, who's been their most effective out of the backfield thus far.
I think that was the same young man we've seen on that big punt return the DuBois had, too, that just outstanding
speed. That makes
speed.
Sense. Yeah, that makes sense. Breaks that one open. Somehow Franz is able to run it down. I mean, that was incredible. That was a soccer star for you. And the handoff is going to be held short of the touchdown, but he does get a little bit of a gain on that.
Yeah, it looked like he got about 2 yards on there, and Jake Abers coming in to make the tackle for the Owls.
Second and 2. So the Owls have had to stand up this DuBois offense a couple of times tonight, but they haven't had to do it from the 2 yard line.
Right, we're going to see their grit and toughness here and how bad they want it and go out and get it. Really tough to see from this angle.
It is. It's a tough spot. Back in that I formation.
Looks like there's going to be a flag on the play there.
Yeah. It's, we'll see if it's either a false start or an offsides. A false start would come in handy here for the Owls, who are trying to defend from their own 2 yard line. Encroachment. So that's on Bradford. Yeah. Half the distance is going to move it to the 1.
It's still going to remain second down, though, I believe, but it will, like you said, at the 1 yard line. So. Yeah, I'm not. I thought I seen the ball move a little bit there, and that's why they went, but obviously not.
Here's your second and goal from the 1, and it looks like they're in for a touchdown. They are. So DuBois shut out for the first 23 and a half minutes of the game. Well, for the first 24 minutes of the game, they hit the field goal with double zeros on the clock. Shut out for the first 24 minutes, and they score here in the third to take a 9-6 lead.
Yeah, just that big play by their running back there. I don't remember the name off the top of my head for, 80-some yards there. And the extra point is up and good, so that gives Dubois their first lead of the game at 10-6 with 7 minutes to go here in the third quarter from Mansell Stadium down to Dubois.
So after some traded a couple of punts for the Owls, including one that they were able to recover themselves, Dubois is able to march downfield, take the lead here in the third, and we'll have to see if the Owls can answer back. 10-6, Dubois leads. It's Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports.
Navigating the housing market can be a challenge, whether you're buying or selling a home. Talk to Zimmerman Realty, a team of real estate experts in our area. Zimmerman Realty can introduce you to the most up-to-date listings in Bradford, Smethport, and Eldred. They can even show you properties that are listed with other real estate agencies. If you're looking to sell, Zimmerman Realty offers a free market analysis to help you determine the value of your home. Visit their website and sign up today at ZimmermanRealtyLLC.com.
WESB Sports.
Welcome back to E.J. Mansell Stadium in Dubois, where the Beavers have just scored on a one-yard first and goal. The real story was the run from Garrett Nessel, who was able to bring it all the way down to the five-yard line. Jake Franz with a game-saving or a touchdown-saving tackle. Now here's the ensuing kick, and that might go out of bounds again.
Nope, it bounced in and through the end zone for a touchback. So that's going to bring it out to the 20-yard line for the Owls. So it'll be first and 20 for your Owls with 7 minutes to go here in the third quarter.
So again, with that Dubois touchdown, this is going to turn into a real dogfight, it seems. Extra point was good. So it is 10-6, Bradford trailing by four. And it's the first time that they've trailed Dubois all game.
Yeah, so... Well, first time they've trailed since the Punxsutawney game to open up the season.
That's right, yeah.
So let's see what kind of grit and determination they got. I'm fully confident in them.
Hey, look at this. Reese with the empty backfield. Five wide, trips to the left side. He's looking that way.
Nice.
It's complete, and nice chunk there. Not quite enough for the first.
Yeah, Matt Perry on the catch there, and it looked like it took a couple of Dubois defenders to bring him down. Looks like they're going to mark him. About an 8 yard gain, 9 yard gain.
I don't get a lot of calls right, but I'll take credit for that empty backfield back there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's going to bring up a second and one from the 29 for the Owls.
This time split back, so that just to spite me, we'll bring two in the backfield. It's AJ Gleason and Jordy Thompson. This one's going to go to Jordy, and boy, he's got to bounce off again, and he's not able to, and he's going to lose more yards.
Again, just not able to break free like we've seen him be able to in previous games here, but that kid's got a lot of fight in him. I still think he's got a big play in him left this game.
Yeah, it's just the gang tackles that are getting him. When one guy leaks through, he can make that work, and all the credit to him in the world for that. But when two guys are wrapping him up.
Yeah. So that's going to bring up a third and four for your Owls from the 26-yard line. Looks like Thompson in the backfield with Palin.
Yeah, trips to the right side. And Franz, the lone man on the other side. It's going to go out of the backfield.
It's going to be a first down.
Yeah, he's across and approaching the 35. He only needed to get to the 30 for the first.
Yeah, so just a quick pitch and catch from Talon Reese to Jordan Thompson, who makes the catch, takes a hit, bounces out of bounds, but that's a first down for your Bradford Owls.
So this is the Owls kind of taking what Dubois is giving them. They've shut down the run, but they have been leaving some holes open in the passing game. We'll see if Talon can continue exploiting that now.
Yeah, that was an 8 yard gain for the Owls.
Reese, again, out of the shotgun, awaits the snap. He's going to drop back and pump fake.
Nice
gets a man
play.
Off his feet. Now he gets wrapped up and brought down in the backfield.
Ooh, Reese is slow to get up there, but bounces up and headed back towards the huddle. So, yeah, flushed out of the pocket. Looked like he broke one tackle, but wasn't able to get away from the second one.
Yeah, that turns into about a 5-yard, 6-yard loss.
Yeah, 6-yard loss for the Owls. So that'll bring up 2nd and 16 from the 28. Reese comes back from the sideline with the call in hand.
And they're going to go back to Thompson in the backfield with double twins.
There's some room for him.
There it is. This one is going to turn into a little gain there. Let's see. Approach the 35, it looked like, so maybe a 6-yarder.
Yeah, the Beavers were able to just wrap him up after a couple yards and bring him down. Maybe a little over-aggressive at the end of the play there, but not affect the play at all and just give the Owls a little motivation here.
Only 4 yards, so 3rd and 12 from the 32.
Looks like Reese is going to be in the empty backfield again, Jimmy.
And trips to his right side. Looks that way, and now is going to reverse course. Tries to scramble up the middle. Turns it into a gain, but not much of one.
No, it looks like he got just brought it out to about the 42-yard line. So just a 4-yard gain. That's going to bring up a 4th and 8 for your Owls from 35, 37 yard line, it looks.
Yeah, so Haviland will be back on the field. The Owls unable to answer back right away. And now they will once again try to rely on the defense. Haviland gets over midfield, bounces near the 35. And that's
there
just
should be a flag on the play there. It looked like Eric Himes was completely blindsided as he was marching downfield. Oh, I do see a flag on the field now. I imagine with that that's going to be a block in the back against the Dubois Beavers.
Now Himes is up. I did see him right as you were saying that. I did see him down. He did get up all on his own. He's worked his way over to the sideline. So no injury concern as of yet there. And we'll wait to hear from the official.
Looks like he's wrestling with his microphone a little bit there.
Ball came to a rest near the 40. Yeah.
Yep.
Gonna be gave up on the mic, but that is on Dubois.
Yep. Block in the back against Dubois. So looks like about a 10-yard penalty.
A 15-yard bring it to the 24.
Yeah, it was good to see Eric pop right back up on that play because, like I said, I was watching him come downfield. He got completely blindsided on that play, and he's back out here. It looks like at a defensive back position on defense. So.
1st and 10 for Schrock. They're back to that first with the 3 running backs. Stiff arm in the backfield and is able to turn upfield at the sideline.
Yeah, it looks like he was able to get a yard or two out of there before Evan Whitmore was able to force him out of bounds. That gives Whitmore his 7th tackle on the night. So Whitmore, another good night's work so far for him.
Strong stiff arm there from the Dubois running back to turn that into a positive. He got about 3 yards on it to bring up a 2nd and 7. We're inside of 3 minutes to go in the third quarter. And again, Dubois leads 10-6.
Dubois no stranger to close games so far this year. I believe they just lost one in overtime just by 1 point here a week or two ago. And then their last one, they only won by, I believe it was a 6-point, or 6-point loss, excuse me.
Nessel out of the backfield with the handoff from Schrock, and that's going to be a short game.
Yeah, Matthew Perry coming in from his linebacker position, squeaking by a block and able to bring him down for the short game.
So pretty good situation here for the Owls. You'd take a 3rd and 6 from the 28-yard line, see if they can stand him up here and get that ball back. Schrock is going to be working out of the shotgun. He's looking to his left. Got a man on the flat. It's caught. And across for a first down and room for more. He gets over midfield and it's dragged down inside the 45.
Yeah, it looked like a screen pass. They got it out there quick. The offensive line of the Beavers just basically allowed the defense to get through there and swung the ball to the near side here with blockers in front of him, and he was able to come up with a big game before being knocked out of bounds by Kohler.
And the Owls held him to that 3rd and fairly long, and then just like that, they're across midfield and into Bradford territory. Now first and 10 from the 44. Schrock back under center. I formation. Here's a handoff. And here's got room again. Brought down, dragged down from behind by A.J. Gleason.
Yeah, A.J. Gleason in there like a rocket to wrap him up by his legs and bring him down, but not before a gain there for another gain for the Beavers.
Yeah, nice chunk. It's going to be short of the first, but it looks like a gain of about 7. So now a 2nd and 3 for Du Bois, who all of a sudden, I mean, seemingly out of nowhere, has found some real offensive power.
Yeah, they just came out of the locker room and motivated and ready to go, and they're throwing their weight around a little bit here so far.
Now, whatever adjustment coach saw for Du Bois is certainly working out here in the second half.
Looks like they just tried to blast the ball right up the middle, but not before maybe a yard or two gain, hit first by Matthew Perry, then cleaned up by Jordy, and I believe that was Eric Himes in there on the tackle.
Yeah, we'll see where that's going to be spotted at the just inside the 35, and looks like that's not quite enough for a first down. So it's 3rd and inches.
Yeah, and even if they stop him here, the way we've seen their kicker previously, that might not be out of field goal range.
Back in that, it looked like an offset eye, but it's going to be a keeper.
More than enough yards on that. Looks like he got 4 or 5 yards out of that, just blasting the ball right up the gut. And, yep, it's going to be a first down for Du Bois.
Yeah, good call there for Du Bois. Just needing a few inches, and they haven't called. They've seen a couple different alignments here on offense. They haven't called any sort of quarterback sneak or quarterback keeper or anything like that. So Schrock just takes the snap and ends up with a nice little chunk. Inside of 30 seconds to go in the third quarter. Schrock back in the I formation. Hand off to the fullback. Breaks a tackle and gets inside the 25 before getting popped by A.J. Gleason.
Andrew Giordano had him by the jersey and wrapped him up. And A.J., as you said, came in and gave him a pretty good hit to knock him down. But again, a short gain for Du Bois.
Yeah, really moving the ball. Another 6 yards for the Beavers. And that's going to take us to the end of the third quarter with Du Bois again in a 10-6 lead, rather. Looking at 2nd and 4 on the 24 in Bradford territory after we flip the field and come back for the final frame. The Owls trail by 4. 10-6 is the score. It's Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports.
At Allegheny Vein and Vascular, the office of Dr. Bob Tejera, you receive nationally recognized, innovative, and personalized care in Bradford, Pennsylvania, without the hassle of driving to a major city. Experience for yourself the convenience of office visits, diagnostic ultrasounds, and procedures in the comfort of our state-of-the-art facility, all under one roof. For over 16 years, Dr. Tejera has specialized in the treatment of complex artery and vein disease. At Allegheny Vein and Vascular, patients know they aren't just a number in a computer. They're names and faces of real people we work together with to achieve a better quality of life. For more information or to schedule your appointment, call 368-8490. That's 368-8490. Self-referrals are welcome and most insurances are accepted. Allegheny Vein and Vascular is located at 900 Chestnut Street in Bradford.
WESB Sports.
Welcome back to Bradford Owls football. 2nd and 4 for Du Bois to start the fourth quarter. It's another fullback dive. Bunched up there for not much.
Yeah, going nowhere. Jordan Thompson was in there. Matthew Perry's in there. Eric Himes is in there. So 4 or 5 hours, Owls just be able to bust through and knock them back for a couple-yard loss.
So hopefully a good omen to start the final frame here as the Owls find themselves down by 4. It's 10-6. The Owls were leading for the entire – well, they weren't leading for the entire. They took a lead in the second quarter. And then
Fumble. Nope, pitched it.
Yeah, pitched it backwards, but somehow was able to keep that from a fumble, but only turned it into about a yard.
Yeah, I think that was a blown-up play. They just kind of – ball got bounced lucky into the right hands there, but A.J. Gleason wrestled him down for no gain. So that's going to bring up a fourth and three for Dubois.
I think they're going to go for it.
I believe so. I mean, they're this far down. The Owls offense hasn't showed much this second half. And, I mean, the worst you got to lose, you get them pinned back pretty deep here.
I'm fairly surprised that they wouldn't just take the three, but I guess.
Let's go, Gio.
Here's the direct snap to Schrock.
I believe they stopped him. Nope. Second.
How? He's still up.
Wow. I don't know what
stiff arm into the end zone, but there's a flag on the play.
I believe that flag's going to be against A.J. Gleason. Although he's up on his feet and moving now, he got whacked pretty good. Another blindside by Dubois.
So
I believe that ball's coming back.
I don't have any idea how Schrock was not stopped at the 21.
No.
Whatever he did was an absolute credit to him.
Yeah, sure.
And then he somehow popped out of this pile inside the 15, and then he had a tough stiff arm at the 5 and walked into the end zone.
Well, he did drop down, and maybe the Owls thought his knee touched the ground there, but apparently not, as they allowed the play to continue. And when it did continue, usually A.J. Gleason's the one giving out the hits. He surely took one there. But again, like I said, no injury concern. He's up and back in his position, ready to play. Looks like that flag is, in fact, going to be on Dubois.
Yeah, they're now calling for the sideline to back up as the Dubois coaching staff is. So did they? Was the actual call on the sideline?
I didn't hear him say anything at all. And the head referee's coming over to talk to Dubois' head coach now. It looks like they're going to replay this at 4th and 1.
Okay, so maybe they had him down at the 21 where we thought he was down initially.
Sure, but that would still, a loss of downs would give the Owls the ball right there.
Oh, that's
there.
Right. They are replaying the down. You're right.
That's the illegal substitution.
We're in
late
a 4th and 1 situation.
Dubois here.
It's a fullback dive, and they do have the yardage for a first down.
Now, Jimmy, isn't the rules of when and when you can't substitute? Is I've seen a Dubois substitute
yeah,
late
right.
in the game.
It's Carter Voss right here, number one, is the player who ran off the field.
Yeah, and that's going to give the Dubois a first down, but, I mean, even the Bradford coaches sharing a booth with us tonight are questioning that, so. Little confusion there for me. I'm going to have to look into that and educate myself.
Dubois does use that to get into the red zone, though, and a first down, 1st and 10 from the 19. Frankly, I'm still very confused by.
Yeah, absolutely.
That 4th down run by Schrock. Their first down is a short gain, maybe a yard or two. Yeah, gain of 1.
Yeah, and they just tried to hand a ball off up the middle again for just a short 1 yard gain for the Beavers, but Eric Himes comes in before he can gain any more and textbook tackle and laid a pretty good pop down on him.
2nd and 9 now. Schrock goes back to the I formation under center. 2nd and 9. Schrock, this time he's going to keep it. He's got room. He's scrambling, and he's popped again.
It's like A.J. and Ian DeGoyer and make the quarterback there pay for taking those yards. But, again,
he did get a nice chunk.
Yeah, good solid 6-7 yard gain on that before being brought down. That's going to be A.J.'s 10th tackle on the night right there.
My word. Gain of 7 on the play. So it's 3rd and 2. The Owls really looking for answers here as the defense has been struggling after playing really strong defense in that first half and just giving up 3 points. Now this second half has been an uphill battle.
It's like a timeout called by Dubois.
We'll take a Tax-In timeout as well, brought to you by Tax-In Restaurant at the intersection of Routes 219 and 59 Lewis Run with the best handmade pierogies around. Dubois leads Bradford 10-6 with 8:34 left in the game. A Tax-In timeout, Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports.
Owned locally, respected worldwide, that's the Allegheny Bradford family of companies in Lewis Run.
They're a leading manufacturer, supplier, and service provider of quality stainless steel products used the world over, from small food processors to giant pharmaceutical companies. Allegheny Bradford, Allegheny Surface Technology, and ABC Actini. Owned locally, respected worldwide. To see all they do and explore employment opportunities, visit them online at AlleghenyBradford.com.
WTUN-98CM Bradford.
WESB Bradford.
B107.5 FM.
This is Bradford Owls High School Football.
We're back to the fourth quarter. 8 minutes and 34 seconds to go of Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports. Right now, Dubois has the ball, and they have been driving downfield. It's third and two from the 11-yard line in Bradford territory. It's going to be a keeper, and they just push that line forward for a first down.
Yeah, I have a little bit of confusion here because the way I interpret the rules in high school football is you are not allowed to aid the runner once they have possession of the ball. But all night, Dubois has been handing off up the middle, and they get the quarterback and fullback right behind them pushing.
And start pushing.
Aiding the runner. I'm not real certain why that's not being called tonight. Either or, it's not in the hands of the referees. It's in the hands of the players, and Bradford needs to stiffen up here as it's first and goal on the five for Dubois.
Not looking great. As, again, the Owls did such a good job.
Oh,
there's
nice
a reverse
play.
And yes. Tripped up in the backfield. Huge play.
Huge play by Eric Himes. Able to trip up the number two for the, looks like Nathan Kaufner for Dubois. So a big loss is going to drop it back to, looks like about the 12-yard line. So that'll be first and goal, second goal from the 12.
7-yard loss.
Huge.
13 and 8-yard loss. Wow.
That's Eric's sixth tackle of the game, his second one for a loss. So. Eric playing well tonight.
Now that we're a few minutes into the fourth quarter, second and 13, our fourth quarter contestant, Toji's touchdown sweepstakes. There's another handoff inside the 10, tripped up, but still on his feet, and a touchdown for Dubois as Garrett Nissel finds the end zone.
Yeah, that's going to give Dubois a 15-6 lead here with 7:23 left in the fourth quarter. Just busted the ball right off tackle and bounced off one defender and was able to make his way into the end zone. So let's see. Looks like they're going to bring out for an extra point attempt. If it's good, it'll make it 16-6. So still, Owl still very much in the game tonight.
And that kick is up. And, boy, yeah, they got themselves a kicker, boy. Let me tell you what.
He just bounced that one off the play clock at the back of the end zone there. So
that's going to make it 17-6. Dubois leads with 7 minutes and 23 seconds to go. It's Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports.
Team Miner is your source for custom screen printing and embroidery, team uniforms, T-shirts, hats, and more. From concept to completion, Team Minard in Bradford is there for you. Team Minard provides top quality products and exceptional design done by professionals, so there's no need to go online or leave town. And with decades of experience, Team Minard can bring you the best quality at the best price. For more information, go to teamminard.com and remember, when it looks good, people will wear it. Team Minard!
WESB Sports.
Welcome back to Bradford Owls football, live from Dubois, where the Beavers just took a 17-6 lead after the 13-yard run from Garrett Nissel. Their extra point was good, 17-6, an 11-point game with 7 minutes and 23 seconds to go. The Owls are going to take back over, and our fourth quarter contestant for Toji's touchdown sweepstakes is Frank Mason. Here's the ensuing kick. It's a rocket.
Wow.
It's going to go into the back of the end zone.
Yeah, it's going to bring it out for a touchback, so it'll be first and 10 for the Owls from the 20-yard line as they take possession here with 7:23 left to go in the game. And still very much in this game. We just need to maybe a big play to boost the morale of our Owls or something to get the momentum to switch here for us.
Couple of touchdowns, swings this one right back into the Owls' favor.
A
What is happening?
Yeah, referees blowing the play dead before they
We're set up 5 yards ahead of the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, they got the ball. They do have the ball set up at 25. There we go. Okay. That makes sense now.
Yeah, I was a little confused looking at the setup there. Chains were at the 20. Ball was at the 25.
Here we go.
Reese in the backfield, out of the shotgun, hands it off to Thompson. Thompson tripped up at the line. He does get a yard or so.
Yeah, gained a yard over there. Looked like he tripped over one of his own blockers more than he got tackled, but either way, a gain of one, bring up second and nine for the Owls.
And the Owls again looking to not really in any sort of desperation territory yet. Not in any sort of hurry up. 7 minutes, all your timeouts here in the second half.
Looks like they're bringing AJ back into the backfield along with Talon and Jordan Thompson.
Now split backs for Reese. Second and nine from the 21. Low snap. Reese handles it. He's going to roll out to his right side. And he's... shoots it off to the 25-yard line, but it's incomplete.
Yeah, he was looking to catch Matthew Perry on the sideline there, but as you've seen, the pressure came low snap, and pressure was there right away. So rolling out to his right, so the far side of the field, and just missed Matthew Perry on the sideline there.
See if I can get you a couple of scores here in between the action, third and nine. Brookville, Manitow. Right now Brookville leads 34-12, or that was at the half, rather. In the fourth quarter of Central Clarion, Punxsutawney, Central Clarion up 27-13.
That's surprising.
Third and nine, split backs for Reese. Takes the snap, drops back. He's going to step up into the pocket, now escape out to the right side. Airs one out. Intercepted.
No, incomplete. Pass. The Dubois defender was able to come up with the ball as a catch, but was unable to keep his feet in bounds, so that's going to be an incomplete pass, which is going to bring up a third and nine for the Owls from the 21. Fourth and nine.
Carn City leading St. Mary's 16-0. That's a second quarter score. Union AC Valley leading Brockway 12-7 in the third quarter. Ridgeway leading Kane 26-7 in the second quarter. Port Allegheny has shut out Cameron County 23-0 through the first half.
Ooh, high snap. The ball over his head and into the end zone. Just covers it up. That's going to be a safety for Dubois. That's going to give Dubois a 19-6 lead, and they're going to get the ball back on a punt. Not much Havlin could do with that, just a snap over his head. He jumped his best to make the play, but was just unable to. But thankfully, he came down with the ball in the end zone as opposed to a Beaver player. That way, it's only 2 points instead of the typical six.
So safety there, and now looking at a deficit of 13 points and no longer with possession.
Yeah, looks like things are crumbling a little bit for our Owls here. Unfortunately, I'm seeing some heads hanging, so.
Yeah,
maybe the leaders.
Well, especially after it's turned the way that it has.
Yeah, momentum has been on Dubois' side this entire half and not even close to going back. So look for our leaders to step up here and rejuvenate and motivate our players to put some fight in.
Couple more scores here before kickoff. Smithport Countersport 27-12. Smithport leads. Otto Eldred over Bucktail 32-28. Clearfield over Belafonte 20-7. And that's all the scores in the area as I have them, courtesy of D9and10Sports.com. 6 minutes 23 seconds to go. Bradford about to kick off. Franz boots this one. Pretty nice kickoff. Sails to about the 30. And, boy, a big return across midfield and brought down in the 45 in Bradford territory.
Yeah, Nick DeGolier came up and made the tackle, but like you said, not before the Deep Beavers got on this side of the positive side of the field here. So good field position for Dubois and with down, like I said, I was down 13, 19-6 here with 6 minutes, 17 seconds to go in the fourth quarter.
Can really start to milk some clock now. 13 points is still two touchdowns, so nothing's changed on, you know, how many you need to score. Nothing's changed on that front. But however, now that Dubois has the ball back. They can really start to run down that clock. Here's a first and 10. It's a run for a pretty nice gain, maybe 9 yards.
Yeah, he was able to look like he was going up the middle, but then bounced it outside to the near sideline here. Got about 9 yards before Evan Whitmore was able to bring him down for just shy of the first down. So it's going to be a second and 2 for the Beavers.
Yeah, so Dubois now 5 minutes, 45 seconds to go. And you'll plan on seeing a lot of run, especially here, second and short. He'll dive to the fullback, pushing the pile, and that's what we've been missing tonight, really, is just the handoff.
72 is taunting.
Oh, yeah, that was...
There's some blatant... What I see is blatant penalties that are just not being called.
Extremely blatant.
Wow.
Taunting on the field there that... And right in front of the official as well.
Yeah, I just don't understand how that's not a flag.
Yeah, not the first question we've had. Maybe the most obvious, the hardest to miss so far, in my opinion. AJ Gleason showing a little blitz. He drops back into coverage.
Matthew
Player there.
Wraps him up for it looks like a 3 or 4 yard loss for Dubois.
Perry gets there quick in the backfield. Drops him back near the 33-yard line to bring up a second and 15. Second and 14, maybe? Yeah, second and 14 from the 33.
Yeah, I try not to be critical of referees because I'm not the guy down there. I do some baseball umpiring, so I understand. But, I mean, there's rules are rules, and there's some stuff that – I mean, that – taunting, in front of the ref.
Yeah, very blatant. Here's a carry up the middle, and that's going to go for maybe 5 yards.
Yeah, he was Matthew Perry absorbed a hit from the back, but was able to bring him down anyway, and that's going to give Matt his fifth tackle on the night. So Matt having a pretty decent game out there on defense.
Yeah, between the assisting the ball carrier or whatever that rule would be named, we've also seen a couple of late substitutions.
Yeah, once you are in the huddle, that's the 11 that you have to go with. You cannot substitute in or out
after
once you're in the huddle. And we've seen Dubois do that multiple times.
Well, they
tonight.
Did it right before that fourth down conversion as well.
Here's a flag right before the snap. Looks like it's going to be most likely a foul start against Dubois.
And that'll push him back, if it is, to a third and 13 situation. They've called it on Bradford.
Wow. Yeah, it's offside against Bradford. So push the ball forward 5 yards. That's going to look like
it's... third and three, rather.
Third down three.
Apparently, they've got quite a few listeners back at home because my phone's blowing up.
Oh, no.
And with that being said, if anybody's sitting next to Mike Gow, can you take his phone from him, please? I'm tired of looking at his messages. I don't know why he seems to bother me all the time when I'm up here.
You got a job to do.
He doesn't understand that, apparently.
Here is Trock again. Out from under center, third and short. Third and three as we approach the three-minute mark. Dubois happy to let that play clock tick down. And this looks like it's going to be a keeper from Schrock. He's across for the first down. There's another flag as he runs out near the 10-yard line.
Yeah, a flag on the play. Let's see what they're going to call it. I'm guessing that's going to be holding against Dubois.
Yeah, it seems like placement of the flag, timing of the flag, that would be the most likely. And based on
it is
where we see it, it's going to bring it to about a third and 10 at least.
So it gives the Owls a little bit of room here. Yep, definitely was holding. It's going to bring the ball back to the 29-yard line on Boom. The near hash.
Nailed it. Third and 10 on the button.
Yes, sir, it is. 2:55 to go down here at Mantle Stadium in DuBois. It's starting to get a little bit chilly tonight, Jimmy.
It is. It is, yeah. That September chill. The Owls really need to get this ball back without giving up another score. Nothing doing here on third down. Maybe a gain of three.
Yeah, not much there at all for DuBois as the Owls' linebackers just collapsed in and were able to bring them down. But again, a short gain there. But things seem to be getting a little bit chippy down there. And so far, the Owls haven't played into that.
I mean, kind of all the credit to them. We were starting to get chippy up here in the booth a little after seeing the taunts and the...
Correct. Yeah, so far the Owls able to hold their composure, which is always a good thing. I mean,
yeah, credit to the team. Especially
coaching.
In this situation, they were leading, and then all of a sudden, DuBois just able to find it.
Right
now here's a run up the middle, and it's Nessel again. He finds his way into the end zone on the fourth down, fourth and seven. The Owls force another fourth, and Nessel again, who we've seen a couple times tonight, just finds a lane and explodes out of the backfield for a 26-yard touchdown run.
Yeah, that's going to bring the score to 25-6 in favor of DuBois. First half there, Jimmy, we've seen the defense bend but don't break, but seems completely opposite this time. They've been getting the third and fourth down, third and long, fourth down plays, but they've been giving up, you know, first downs and touchdowns, as we've seen.
Yeah. The Owls needed to get the ball back and start getting to work. Flag here on the extra point attempt, but, you know, that touchdown is going to serve as a bit of a dagger. False start here. of all the penalties to start calling.
Yeah, so apparently the refs decided to start throwing some flags against DuBois in the last 3 minutes of the game.
Of all the penalties to start calling, it's a false start on the extra point. So I'll attack on 5 yards onto the extra point, the point after try, which we've seen this kicker. I mean,
yeah, this is nothing for him.
A strong leg, accurate leg.
Ooh, no good. He pushed it to the right, so that leaves the score 25-6 in favor of DuBois with just a tick over 2 minutes to go here in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's right. 2 minutes and 3 seconds to go, and after the run by Nessel and a missed extra point, 25-6 is the Beavers' lead. It's Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports.
Helping bring you this football broadcast is a special group of sponsors, the WESB Winner's Circle. Participants include these local area businesses: W.R. Case & Sons, makers of quality American-made knives since 1889, Dexter's Service and Collision on West Washington Street in Bradford, and In Tandem in Olean, enhancing the lives of people with disabilities through supports and services. Winner's Circle sponsors putting you in the game all season long, right here on your season ticket, WESB Sports in Bradford.
WESB Sports.
Welcome back to DuBois for the final 2 minutes of action here. 2 minutes and 3 seconds, but DuBois, after trailing 6-3 at the half, has really been able to turn it on here after not getting a chance to for most of the third quarter. Bradford started with possession. They punted away, and DuBois immediately muffed it. So they get possession again, punted away again. And then since that point, the offense has been, you know, near no miss. Now here's A.J. Gleason, who on the return gets shoestring tackled at the 40-yard line and almost took off.
Yeah, nearly breaks that one. Just gets tripped up at the 35, comes down right around the 40-yard line. But if he keeps his feet there, he's taking that ball to the house.
Yeah, a bit of a lucky trip there as with a full head of steam, Gleason had one man to beat.
Still good field position for the Owls here as they open it up, going right to left on your radio from the 40-yard line on the far hash mark. And I expect they're going to open it up and show off Talon's arm a little bit here.
Yeah, down 19, 25-6. Reese has trips to the left side, and he got Jordy in the backfield. This one's going to go for a first down.
Yeah, right over the middle, about an 8-yard out pass to Perry. Matthew Perry, and he's able to carry it to the 45-yard line in enemy territory there. So nice pass and catch by the Owls.
Yeah, they were kind of leaving these shorter passing plays open. It's always hard to get the long completions, and the running game was shut down. But these short passing plays had some success here and there.
Yeah, 14-yard gain there for the Owls.
This one goes to Thompson out of the backfield, and he's going to have a little bit of room as well.
Looks like he's going to be close to a first down there, maybe just about a yard short. So another swing pass out, short catch and run for the Owls.
Yeah.
Somebody's down in the field, not sure if it's an owl. Yep, looks like there's an owl down in the field right now, so we'll keep you posted on that.
Yeah, trying to see exactly who. Now, obviously, Dubois is also, probably a little bit more of a prevent type defense, but real quick, these, quick drop back passing plays have proven effective here on this drive.
And they were a little effective towards the end of the first half.
I thought so too. Second quarter
there as well.
Whoa, popped right back up.
Yeah, that's
Collie.
Kohler there. Logan Kohler, sophomore for the Owls, took a little bit of a shot there, but up and off the field on his own feet. And the beloved Mona come over to take care of him. She is loved by all Bradford athletes up there. She does a fantastic job.
Not just football either.
Yeah, and it seemingly there must be like four or five of her because I see her literally every sporting event.
It is funny how that works, right? I wasn't expecting him to pop right back up after laying on the ground for as long as he did, but popped up, walked off to the sideline, and hopefully he's okay. Here's Reese, delayed handoff to Thompson. He's able to shake that first tackle, and I believe is going to have first down yardage.
Yeah, that looks like a first down for the Owls. Looks like he got 4 or 5 yards out of that play there, so nice run by Jordy.
A couple extra as well.
That is. It's going to be a marked down as a 4-yard gain and a first down for your Owls. So first and 10 from the Dubois 33.
Inside of a minute to go. They are playing for that fourth quarter contestant for Toji's touchdown sweepstakes. A score here in the final minute would get a free lunch special from Toji's substation. No score, still wins the free dinner off the Value Pack Meals menu. Reese is trying to scramble out to his left side, shakes one tackle, but eventually comes down right near the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, they might credit him with a yard there, but if anything, I mean, he ran about 40 yards
horizontal,
but the no huddle offense here for the Owls.
Made it from the far hash mark almost to the sideline. And it looks like a spike there to stop the clock at 22 seconds. Not sure what the...
Just to stop the clock, which I don't understand with three timeouts left.
Could call a timeout, or you could just let it tick away. Down by 15 here with 22 seconds to go.
Third and 10 for your Owls from the 33.
Reese looking to his right side. Going to take off, but he's got a man wrapped him up around the back.
Yeah, I'm sure he just missed Eric Himes. Nobody was covering him, and he was wide open on the far sideline there. So a missed opportunity there for the Owls.
Yeah, and I believe that's going to be the end of it. No need to take this fourth down snap with the play clock where it's at. And that'll officially count us down to triple zeros. Frank Mason, fourth quarter contestant at Toji's Touchdown Sweepstakes. No score here in the fourth from the Owls, so you win the free dinner off the Value Pack Meals menu at Toji's Family Restaurant. The Owls are going to fall to 2-2 on the season. They lose at home hosting Punxsy. They win 2 in a row at Countersport and hosting Otto Eldred, and then they lose here week 4 against Dubois. Final score 25-6. We got to tally up the stats. We got to collect our thoughts here, and we'll be back after a short break for a post game show. But again, final score 25-6. Dubois comes away with the win. Rallies back for a 19-point win. Nice rally there from the Beavers. It's Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports.
Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports is brought to you by these local sponsors. The Model T Inn, Allegheny Bradford Corporation, Allegheny Vein and Vascular, W.R. Case & Sons, Toji's Restaurant, Toji's Substation, Kathy Obermeyer of ERA Team VP Real Estate, Burns & Burns Insurance, Team Minor, In Tandem, Dexter's Service & Collision, Zimmerman Real Estate,
Gleason Construction, and Ameriprise Financial. This is Bradford Owls Football on WESB Sports, AM 1490, B107.5 FM, and streaming at WESB.com and 100.1 The Heroes mobile apps.
Helping bring you this football broadcast is a special group of sponsors, the WESB Winner's Circle. Participants include these local area businesses: WRK's and Sons, makers of quality American-made knives since 1889, Dexter's Service and Collision on West Washington Street in Bradford, and In Tandem in Olean, enhancing the lives of people with disabilities through supports and services. Winner's Circle sponsors putting you in the game all season long, right here on your season ticket, WESB Sports in Bradford.
Gleason Construction Incorporated is Bradford's top family-owned and operated general contractor, providing general construction services and specializing in new commercial buildings since 2017. Gleason Construction Incorporated offers everything from the ground up, including concrete and foundation work, carpentry, excavation, landscaping, and so much more. Visit their website at Gleason-Construction.com to find out more about what Gleason Construction Incorporated can do for you.
It's the family bar with the car. The Model T Inn in Derrick City. You'll always get great meals and a relaxed family atmosphere at the Model T. Stop in Fridays and treat yourself to one of Jason's delicious fish fries and their other tasty menu items anytime. Relax and enjoy your dinner or drinks outdoors on their beautiful expanded deck and patio area. You'll love it. Whenever you're looking for a great night out, meet your friends at the family bar with the car. The Model T Inn in Derrick City.
It's Friday Night Lights, and the Bradford Owls are ready to bring it. Kathy Obermeyer of ERA Team VP Real Estate knows that teamwork and dedication are the keys to success. Kathy applauds the Bradford area high school football players, cheerleaders, band members, and coaches. Play hard, play smart, have fun. Kathy Obermeyer of ERA Team VP Real Estate is a proud sponsor of the Bradford Owls. Let's go, Owls!
98 CM Bradford. WESB Bradford.
B107.5 FM.
This is Bradford Owls High School Football.
Welcome back. It's the Bradford Owls postgame show on WESB Sports after the Owls fall here to Dubois. Final score 25-6. But the Owls, in control early, had the lead, scoreless tie for a long time, but then finally got the lead, also had possession to start the third quarter, seemingly in control even for a good chunk of the third, and then everything unraveled here in Dubois against the Beavers as Dubois finds their offense in the second half. So we'll also go through the stats of the game, but before that, I'll break down the scoring recap quickly, and then we'll also get our collision of the game, sponsored by the Love Toyota Collision Center at 911 East Main Street in Bradford. And finally, before we wrap up, we'll choose our Model T MVP of the game, sponsored by the Model T in Derrick City. That is Talon Reese is our back-to-back MVP going into this week. He's won it the last 2 weeks. So to start the game, Bradford won the toss but deferred, and Dubois took the first possession. Didn't get too awful far, a couple of first downs, but a turnover on downs ends their first possession just a couple minutes into the game. But that first quarter flies by so quickly. In fact, each team touched the ball two times, and the Owls' second possession actually didn't get punted away until the start of the second. After that first turnover on downs, Bradford has possession. They end up trying to punt it away, but their first punt is blocked, and Dubois takes over with pretty good field position. They are unable to get very far with it, though, as they turn over on downs for the second straight time. Again, Bradford is able to or has it for long enough to end the first quarter, but doesn't get very far with it. They have to punt it away to start the second quarter. First play of the second quarter is a punt on fourth and three. Dubois trades punts with Bradford. Again, Dubois punt, Bradford punt. Dubois turnover on downs for the third time in a row. And then Bradford finally, with just a couple of minutes left in the first half, finds the end zone for the first time. Talon Reese is able to make this happen in a two-minute drill, hurry-up offense, empty backfield, five wide. He makes a couple of plays with his feet, and he finds Jake France for a 16-yard touchdown in the front corner of the end zone. The extra point, however, was no good attempt by France, but they take a 6-0 lead in what had been at that point, just a battle of field position. So the Owls were looking good there late. Only about 30 seconds left on the clock for Dubois heading into halftime. But Dubois actually takes that and is able to turn that into a score. Now they take the ensuing kickoff to about the near midfield. Then they have another big play that takes them inside to the 24. And then on the final play of the first half, or what should have been the final play, the Owls are actually called for defensive pass interference in the end zone as the time ticks to zero. So the Beavers get one more play. No time on the clock. The down doesn't matter. One more play from the 12-yard line, half the distance to the goal, and then we will go into halftime. They elect to use that play to kick a field goal, and that's how they take or get their first 3 points up on the board, and that's how we go into halftime with the Owls leading 6-3. After the halftime break, Bradford receives. Their first possession ends in a punt. Dubois is not able to hang on to that punt. Dubois muffs that punt, and Eric Himes is able to jump on that, recover that fumble. So Bradford gets the ball right back again. At that, second possession also ends in a punt. And from that point on, Dubois' offense had figured something out. Now, I assume it's some sort of adjustment that they found in the locker room, but they were unable to show it because Bradford was controlling the ball for so long in the third quarter. But as soon as they touched the ball on offense, they were able to take over, and they found something that worked for them. Their first touchdown was a one-yard run, but really the story of that drive was a huge gain by Nessel. Garrett Nessel was able to take a big run on the left side of the field and set up that one-yard run. And that extra point was good to make it 10-6. Bradford's next possession was to punt it away. Dubois scored again. This time it was Nessel on a 13-yard touchdown run to make it 6-17. Then Bradford's next possession results in that safety. So another 2 points for Dubois to make it 19-6, and they get the ball back. They take that possession, and it ends with a 26-yard touchdown again from Garrett Nessel. The extra point there was no good, but we finished with a 25-6 score. Bradford has the last possession of the game, but time runs out before they can find the end zone. So 25-6, Nessed really found a way. The offensive line and Nessed and whatever they did really found a way to turn things on in the second half, because as soon every time their offense touched the ball after halftime, they wound up in the end zone.
Right, and you know, the Owls battled hard, but once momentum shifted, they just never could really get it back. And I'm going to have to spend my week, Jimmy, reviewing some high school football rules, because there were some things out there that I seen that were blatant, obvious penalties against Dubois that simply were not called. Now, I'm not saying that's changed the game at all, but it definitely could have had effect on a couple of those drives that the Owls actually did have stopped.
Yeah.
The good news, as far as penalties go, first half, the Owls had 5 penalties called against them, most of them being foul starts. Second half, they only had 1.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they definitely cleaned up their act there. I thought the offensive line played better in the second half. They were able to find a little bit of success dumping the ball out, you know, both to the right and left side. One thing I'd like to see is Talon to stay in the pocket, maybe just a touch longer. I think once in a while.
Trust it a little bit.
Yeah, he absolutely needs to trust it a little bit more. But then again, to counter that, he's so good throwing the ball
That's
on the run.
True, yeah.
And he's and he's got some really good athletes downfield to get the ball to. So,
and when he decides to tuck and run, it was just when we get some of the bigger plays that we've seen. So hard, I guess, to try to choose between that. But in general, I think what you're saying is that the pocket isn't quite collapsing when he's looking to escape.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, I would agree. I don't want it to go unmentioned that there were a few things that I thought was there are a few things that I can understand. Maybe, you know, whether my interpretation of the rule is different, or whether it's, you know, just missed. We're up here, up high from this elevated view, looking down on the field. Maybe, you know, difference there. But there are also a couple things that were very obvious and blatant. The top call, which may or may not have changed anything at that point. But just before that, there was an illegal substitution on that fourth and short. That Dubois ends up taking a 2-touchdown lead with after that touchdown. But the fourth and short, the legal substitution just before the snap and right after the snap is that rule that you were quoting earlier with the pushing the ball carrier.
Yes, in high school, I know you see it a lot in college and NFL, but at the high school level, my interpretation of the rule is you are not allowed to assist the runner, meaning pushing him, carrying him, whatever it may be, to advance further down the field. And we've seen that multiple times in there tonight, and I just, like I said, I'm going to have to review and educate myself on it before I get too critical on it. But again, the game wasn't won or lost by the referees. The boys still had to come out here and play. And I, for one, as a diehard Owls fan, even though we took a loss here tonight, I'm pretty proud of these boys out there tonight. Game was starting to get pretty chippy out there.
Yeah.
And it appeared that a few of the Dubois players were trying to maybe entice the Owls a little bit, but they were all able to keep their calm, keep their composure, and keep playing the game, playing the game hard. And for that, this radio announcer is very proud of them.
Well, you know, we get a 25-6 final score, 19-point game, but for almost three complete quarters, the Owls are leading they're either tied 0-0, they're leading 6-0 or 6-3. I think they did a really good job, especially since we're really looking for growth. Maybe expectations started to get a little higher after back-to-back wins, but what we're looking for is growth and improvement. And I think standing toe-to-toe with this Dubois team for all of almost the entire night, but really started to fall apart not until the fourth quarter, is pretty impressive.
Right, and I don't recall the final score last year, but I knew Dubois just blew Bradford out of the water last year. I believe it was a 50-point loss for the Owls, so obviously this is a big improvement on that. And, you know, after two losses and then this, or two wins and then this loss, might light some fire under some of those guys because, as you know, we got
forgot what the loss felt like, didn't they? Yeah.
Right.
They done forgot what the loss felt like. Yeah, next week we'll be on the road again and heading to
Clarion.
Yeah, another little bit of a drive, but we'll be out there live, 6:45 pregame, 7 o'clock kickoff. Before we do our last couple of means of business, why don't you give us a rundown on the stats?
Yeah, we're going to start out on the defense side of the ball tonight for the Owls. And ending the game here, we have A.J. Gleason with 9 tackles. Evan Whitmore, 10 tackles and a sack. Eric Himes, 6 tackles, 2 sacks, and Anthony Giordano, 5 tackles and a sack as well. Offensively for the Owls, we had Reese go 8 for 12, 82 yards and a touchdown, adding 19 yards on the ground. He was 14 for 22, 127 yards with a touchdown, 19 yards rushing. Matthew Perry, 2 catches, 23 yards. Jake Frantz, 16-yard touchdown catch. And Jordan Thompson, 2 catches, 26 yards out of the backfield for the Owls.
And also we had Eric Himes with that fumble recovery.
Yes.
On that muffed punt exchange as well. So shout out to him. So again, I get kind of a quiet night offensively. Didn't have any of the big performances like we've had the last couple of weeks. But we did have a couple of other things to mention before we get out of here. Our Love Toyota Collision of the Game. This is sponsored by Love Toyota Collision Center at 911 East Main Street in Bradford. This is going to go to AJ Gleason. This was early in the third quarter. I think I had mentioned a couple of times. Actually, there was a hit where I said brought down there by AJ Gleason. You said, yeah, maybe not quite the collision of the game, but one to keep in mind.
Yeah.
And I just kept thinking, well, there's always an AJ. There's at least an entry, a bid for it by AJ Gleason.
Yes.
It's one of the harder hitting Owls that we have on the field. And sure enough, in the third quarter, he ends up, I called it a pop at the time, but he ended up with a big hit on one of them Beavers down there on the field. Went right back into it as that game started moving so quickly in the second half. But credit to AJ, he ends up with the collision of the game Again, sponsored by the Love Toyota Collision Center at 911 East Main Street in Bradford. And with our Model T MVP of the game, presented by the Model T in Derrick City, I think we're going to go a little bit differently tonight.
Yeah, and I agree 100% with this. Obviously, it's typically we see our offensive stars come out and take over the play of the game. But if you don't mind, Jimmy, I'm going to let Evan Whitmore know that he is our player of the game, coming in with 10 tackles and a sack tonight. But just his stats alone don't tell the whole story of his game. He also played very well on the offensive line for the Owls. And he's that firecracker in there that kind of keeps the guys up and motivated. He's the guy patting them on the butt and, you know, give them a word of motivation and advice. And he's really turned out to be a leader on this team.
Happy to see it go to Evan. Not only is he he's an absolute stud on defense. He's seemingly always leading the team in tackles. It seems like just about every week, if not every week, he is leading or tied for the team lead. In tackles. He's always up there with AJ for putting one of the bigger hits down, which you like to see. But like you said, he's really kind of blossomed or matured into a leader, like a defensive leader, someone that these guys can look to when things do get chippy down there on the field, or when you're looking to try to stay into a tight game as we were here for a little while. And looking forward to the rest of the season for Evan Whitmore. I think he's going to have a good year this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, he's only a junior, so we get to enjoy not only the rest of this season, but next season, getting to watch Evan. It's been an absolute joy to call games for him.
And also wreaking some havoc in the backfield as well. It's another thing that you don't always get. Sometimes he doesn't get the tackle. Sometimes he draws the double team and somebody else gets the glory. But
yeah, a couple times tonight he drew a double team and it freed up Eric Hines to either get in for a tackle, or Eric had two sacks on the night, one in the first half and one here in the second half. And so Eric playing much bigger than his size suggests. And he laid down a couple decent hits tonight, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, as did Giordano. We'll give him a little bit of a shout-out as
well. Yeah, absolutely. And as our backup quarterback and just a sophomore. So, again, this Owls team really is young.
Yeah,
I think we've turned the corner here, and there's good things to come. I get to see – I'm at a football field three nights a week, whether it's frats, JV, and then, of course, here at the varsity level. So I get to see these kids progress on their way up, and things are looking a lot better than they have in a long time for our hour. So bright future for us.
Well, already, you know, 2-2 on the season is as good of a mark as we've seen in a few years. So one more time, congratulations, Evan Whitmore, the Model T MVP of the game, presented by the Model T in Derrick City, PA. The Owls fall to Dubois tonight. 25-6 is your final score. 2-2 on the season. And Dubois also mirrors that. They improve to 2-2 on the season, as a little side note. And next week, week 5, we are in Clarion. Again, 6:45 pregame and a 7 o'clock kickoff. But that's it for us tonight in Dubois. Time to drive back up north for my color commentator, Mark Irvin, and for our sound engineer and producer, Nick Young's back at the station. This is Jimmy Kelt signing off of Bradford Owls Football on WESB Sports.